it. And then hopefully tomorrow I will attempt to overview the Haggadah. Because I did bring a Haggadah Shal Pesach if you own one. Anyone owns a Haggadah? Wow. You are a Nevi'im. So what we'll do is, as I said, we'll start with just comments on Kaddish, and hopefully we'll go through the entire Seder of the Haggadah. This Seder of Kaddish Yurchatz Karpas Yachatz Magid Rotsa Votsi Matsa Mora Kora Shulchan Orech Sofum Bora Kalal Nirtsa is actually the term that's utilized is the term Seder. And as Soloveitchik Zatzal noted often that only twice do you find the language of Seder in the Rambam. Once in Leila Seder, you find the concept of Seder. That means the following. That means you have to follow this order. Let's say I were to decide, because one of the issues that Rishonim raised in Avi Sochim, which you learned from what I understood, one of the issues that Rishonim raised is the question of Kiddush Makom Suda. This halacha that any time a person makes Kiddush, so it has to be Makom Suda. Namely, it has to be juxtaposition between the Kiddush and the Suda that follows. Rashbam in Avi Sochim quotes two opinions. He quotes two actually different positions regarding this matter. I assume you're probably familiar with that Rashbam. Across the pasuk, that it says, "V'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, l'vdosh Hashem l'chubad." So that pasuk Rashbam quotes to essentially substantiate this din that Kiddush has to be makom suda. The Gemara here has a discussion. Maybe there's a makom l'hakel. I'll give you an example. A number of times, many times I've been to Kutzaritz, I was in shuls on Shabbos morning, synagogues on Shabbos morning, and the rabbi made Kiddush after davening in the shul itself. And the shul itself was two floors above the Kiddush. The Kiddush was held actually in a kind of basement, Ulam Smachot. So the question is, does that constitute Kiddush Makom Suda? Or is that considered to be a Shini Makom? Perhaps that might be a change of place, a change of venue, and if there's a change of venue, so that would not fulfill the dinim of Kiddush Makom Suda, found here on Daf Kuf Aleph. You remember that, Gemara? So the Rashbam, he quotes two opinions, the Makom for Kiddush Makom Suda. He said that the Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg, Pasu Yishayov, on Daf Kuf Aleph here, the Makom Shatokor L'Shabbos, Kolom Akriya the Kiddush, Shom Tehei Oneg. Wherever the Kriya of Kiddush is, that's what the only Shabbos should be. The meal is only Shabbos. So they should be together. Kriya and Kiddush. That's one opinion. He quotes that. He says, Umedvishu. It's a drasha. Inami Svara. He quotes a Svara. That since Kiddush was Nikva Layayin, Zachir Layayin, we assume which wine are we talking about? The wine that's connected to the meal. So there's a din, Kiddush Makom Suda. So there's a problem. And let us say there. Let us say there, where's the Kiddush Makom Suda? We have quite a interregnum. That's an English word. Quite an interruption between the Kiddush and the Seuda. Could be 3 hours, especially we have, I'm sure, all of us here, we're kind of mitzvah, sibet yes mitzvayim, ki ilchoso, ki hiduro, and that takes a while. What's that called in the in the Seder Hadron that we just mentioned? It's called Magid, correct? Magid is the din of sibet yes mitzvayim. That's a din daraisa. That's a Torah requirement that we have to tell the story. But it's yes, Mitzrayim. The Haggadah writes here, "Kol amar b'lasafir b'tzias Mitzrayim, harizu meshufach." The more I detail, the greater the narrative, the more I am eyeing into it, the greater the mitzvah of sibur b'tzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, I'm going to be marich. I'll have a great, lengthy magid. So doesn't that interrupt between the kiddush and the time I have the meal? So what have you to say about the matter? I'm sure you thought of the question. It's against the Gemara. Who followed? Kiddush Makom Suda. Yeah.
If we're talking about time, wouldn't you say something like Kiddush Kishah Suda or something like that? If we're saying Makom, that has to go in the place.
Excellent. Wow. So here, what are you suggesting? That Kiddush Makom Suda means it has to be in the same place as the actual Suda. And it is in the same place as the Makom Suda. But the way the Pashas, and you're asking well, because you're saying well, because the Gemara here gives a whole bunch of examples. If you remember, Everyone learned Avir Sochim here, more or less?
Yeah.
It's important to review it. You have to try the chazir if you can, especially now. right before they say that. They'll be kedai. You know these blood, this very important blood. The Gemara discusses here, can I go from house to house? Can I go from makom to makom? What about in the same house? Can I go from floor to floor? So he says correctly, because Isha seems to be, Kiddush v'makom Suda seems to be in the same place. So l'chora, as long as I'm in the same place, so it doesn't make a difference. That's one possibility. But generally, we pass in the halacha that Kiddush v'makom Suda also means time. That the two have to be juxtaposed. The Kiddush has to be juxtaposed in terms of time to the meal. So now there's a problem here because certainly there's a lack of juxtaposition. So now the question is, what does one do regarding that? So the Rishon answer, and this is a very significant answer, that as long as a person is, in effect, what he's doing is a tzorech, means I'm not doing something which is unnecessary. What am I doing essentially? I'm doing something which is a very important tzorech, namely, there's a need to go ahead and tell the story to the kind of mitzvah, see what Tehach Mitzvah. So since what I'm doing is considered to be a tzorech, therefore it's not called, it's not considered to be a hefsek. We don't assume that automatically that there's some sort of a interposition between the Kiddush and the Seuda, as long as what I'm doing is necessitated by a mitzvah, such as Sibut Yes Mitzvahim, that would not constitute a hefsek as far as Kiddush Makom Seuda. The Gemara also seems to, by the way, I'll just mention, you probably know the Gemara, since you know it far better than I do, that I assume. The Gemara here has, as well, a discussion talks about a hesek hadas in the meal, and the Gemara talks about a hesek in the meal. This would not be called a hesek. It would not be called a hesek hadas because I'm focused on the mitzvah salayda, the mitzvah salayda, the secret yes mitzvah. So that's called the tzara hasuda. There's a need. So that's why I'm telling you. Let's say a person were to decide, I want to go ahead and make kiddush, and then I'll make hamotzi, achilas matzah, two brachas, correct? You say al achilas matzah first hamotzi, then al achilas matzah. And after I eat the meal, then I'll go back to the Rechatz Karpas. Wouldn't that be a better situation? I think you'd be asking.
Definitely.
But that would not be per seder. That would be Shalom al seder. Now, so as you said, there twice in the Rambam, the term seder is used, not advisedly, but it's used very precisely. Namely, the seder Leil HaSeder has to be Lufi HaSeder. And secondly, not just that seder, but the Seder of Avodah Yom Kippur, it's a Mishnah in Yuma. That the Seder also has to be Lefi a certain order. If you don't follow the order, you're not Yotzei. So therefore, this is considered to be a Tzorech, not called a Hefsek, not called a Hefsek Hadas. So there are two Mahalchim that we're using here to answer this question. You hear what we're saying? One is, as long as it's the same Makom, so then it's not considered to be that I went ahead and moved elsewhere. So I'm still, even though maybe 3 hours later. But the Chosot is called Kiddush Rokham Suda. And secondly, as long as it's a Torah, the Torah being the mitzvah, see, with Yes Mitzrayim, where I'm supposed to elaborate, call a marbe, the sabre, with Yes Mitzrayim, with the Meshuggah, that's not considered to be a hefsek as far as Kiddush Rokham Suda. Yeah?
What if it's something behones? Does it matter if it's out of your control? You wouldn't have to make another Kiddush, or since you have many times at Hadas, so you need to make another Kiddush?
I mean, the issue is Hesek Hadas, that's what you have to be concerned about. But usually there's no Hesek Hadas. I don't think that if people haven't gone anywhere, so I don't believe it's a problem in terms of Hesek Hadas, or as I said, certainly you haven't moved, you haven't physically, you're still in the same spot, so I don't think it's considered to be a problem. Okay, just continuing in that vein as far as Inyanim that relate to Kiddush, so let's talk about the fact that this Kiddush is different than Kiddush and Shalimos Hashanah. How many of you accept Shabbos early, Midei Pam B'Fam, during the summer? You have such a concept called early Shabbos? Everybody here? Okay, so is that possible on Leil HaSeder?
No.
The answer is not. Why not?
Just start for Shkia now.
What was that?
Just start for Shkia, I think.
What's the basis of that? Why must it start after an isotesim, sofim, salatesim, base? And the Rishon points out, because all the mitzvah laila, who kashu the Korban Pesach? So even though the Korban Pesach is nishat bayom, that's the Mishnah and Tamil Nishat, however, when is it eaten? V'yochlo sabasar? Anyone know what follows? Parshas Bo? That's like Pentateuch? Means literally at night. You can't eat Korban Pesach before nightfall. The text points out, all the mitzvahs of Pesach night were compared one to the other. Just like the Korban Pesach has to be eaten at night time. So too, all the mitzvahs take place at night time. That's what Mechaber writes in Siman Tafayin Beis. Mechaber means Rabbi Caro. So he writes in Siman Tafayin Beis, at the beginning, that you have to wait till Shatech Shach, till you can go ahead and do the Kiddush, or if you will, perform the mitzvah Laila. So that's a very important distinction between the Kiddush of Leil Shabbos, where the Gemara says in the fourth parak of Brachas, Rav Tzol Shal Shabbos of Shabbos, Rabbi made Kiddush earlier, but here you can't make Kiddush earlier, here it has to be Dafka at night time. There's even a discussion in Taz Magen Avraham, what about the Amir of the Kiddush? Can the Amir of the Kiddush be before Shetech Shach, but the Shetia, the actual drinking, be Dafka Shetech Shach? But in general, it has to be at nightfall, and it can't be earlier the way we normally would do it because of those who are Mekabel early Shabbos, which I don't do. I've never done early Shabbos my entire life. So as you also never did, and so I just simply followed my Rabbein in terms of that issue, in terms of what we're doing. Please be comfortable.
Just hit my against the bar, so.
What's that?
Hit my shit against the bar, so I thought it'd be good.
Ah. Okay. Anyway, I want to just mention one or two other elements that are relevant to Kiddush. I'll say there. There's normally a din that they all said Avim Sochim. I'm just telling you over Avim Sochim, so you're familiar with it, no? Excellent. So how many people have to drink a kos in order to be also in the mitzvah Kiddush Friday night?
One.
One person. Or it could be drunk even by a number of people as long as you drink a shir. What's the shir? Rov Rias, Velo Dugma. It's a cheek fall. That's what you have to have. What about on Pesach night?
Each person.
As you see again, that somehow the nature of the mitzvah is different than Kiddush that we do regularly. Regularly, Kiddush is simply Sidu Bracha Al HaKos, that the person who makes the Kiddush has to arrange the bracha around the Kos Yayin. And that's all has to be done, and you have to drink. Gemara says the Erev Dachmen, Hamakari Sor Shiyitom, that the person who makes Kiddush has to be towing for the kosher bracha. Rashi says over there in Erevin, Gnai the kosher bracha, that it's a gnai for the kosher bracha if I go ahead and make Kiddush without being toy. But the din is that really anyone can be toy. Lav dafka the Mekaddish. Lav dafka the one who made Kiddush. As long as one of the participants tasted from the kosher bracha and drank a shir, or two people drank a shir, three people drank a shir, that's sufficient. Because that's the din that you're Masada bracha ala kos. However, on Pesach night, as you just pointed out correctly, there's a din of shtia. Each person has to drink the kos, the one of the dal kosos. You have to drink all four kosos. And you have to drink a derech cheirus. You have to feel a sense of emancipation, a sense of freedom. That leads to another question: whether can I be yotze with mitzvah aviv? Can I be yotze with grape juice? Well, what do you? Anyone here makes kiddush and grape juice? Or you never heard of grape juice? You make kiddush and grape juice?
I'm not a big wine guy. No.
You're about the only one in the whole yeshiva.
Here's the question though: if we say the whole point of the Arba Kosos is like a din in freedom. If someone doesn't enjoy wine at all, then let's say everyone here loves that category.
You are speaking in the most outstanding fashion imaginable. You're saying over what our celebration Zatzal said many years ago. There's a Lashon Hara in the Chamesh Matzah that the Yukos Yain has to be Areva alone. What does Areva mean? It's sweet to you. And if wine is not sweet to you, you and I are, we have a lot in common, I see. It. Much more than I thought. Already last year I noticed that. But I'm also a teetotaler. Translated, I do not imbibe, do not engage in, I'm not a wino like many people in the yeshiva. I'm not into that. I drink only grape juice. However, twice a year I drink wine. More than twice a year, really. On Purim, because Rashi said in Tazayim that Chayavadim Bipsumi Bipuraya. Which is probably the most important mitzvah in the Torah, at least here in the yeshiva. Anyway, so the one is not a mitzvah in the Torah, and there's also an isa to get drunk. Maybe Purim, Rashi says, the Gemara says, Lepsume. Question, how do you translate Lepsume? What's your translation of Lepsume? Rashi says, what you said. You're Mechavim to Rashi, Lishtaka. And Rashi says, Lishtaka Bayayim. So what I do is I follow the Ramah. The Ramah says, you drink more than what you're accustomed to, and since I'm never accustomed to drink at all, I drink a milliliter of wine, usually Yayin Kal, which you would call red water. And so I drink a bit of Yayin Kal, and then I go to sleep, and I'm kind of the mitzvah of Adla Yoda. That's one. The second time I do it is Lala Seder, the Rashbam, we saw the Rashbam. Atera yayin ki yisadam. The Mechaber says it's supposed to be tam umari yayin. It has to be a red color. Some people, even though they may use yayin lava, they may be more meshubach ramah over there in Shulchan Aruch, but they'll mix it, put some red in there, in order that it should be at least have a red color to create that kind of marev yayin, a color of red. And Rashi says, Rashbam says over there in Arim Sochim, Atera yayin ki yisadam. Rashbam says apparently because the possibility of shichus, no, it has to be a yayin that has the ability to be meshaket, that potentially can cause a person to become drunk, to become intoxicated, even though there's no mitzvah to become intoxicated. I think I mentioned that I mentioned my shia, that I mentioned, I heard many years ago from Avraham Soloveitchik Zatzal. He said that any person who gets drunk any day of the year is over on a lav in chumash, kedoshim tiyu, kikodosh ani Hashem Elokecha. Okay. Obviously, people in the yeshiva here don't agree with his understanding of the Rambam. Okay. But anyway, that's what Avraham Soloveitchik, one thing Dovi Ador. We have here Baruch Hashem, a lot of Dovi Ador. Anyway, so the that's what he condemned. So that's why on Pesach night, I'm actually also to drink wine. And there's none other time I drink wine. Anyone can guess any other time I drink wine during the year?
Chol
Hamoed, correct. Every day I drink a revis, yayin chol Hamoed. There's a mitzvah in simcha l'v'yayin, in simcha l'v'basa. Question with the basa, we've been kind today because the B'riah Locha points out, we don't have psar shlomim. But at least the yayin part, you can't be mekayim. So I assume you drink wine on the chol Hamoed? I hope so. All of you? No?
No.
You don't?
We all just sit on
the I'm saying that if the whole point is like simcha, but you just don't enjoy drinking, then like, is that the point of it? Like,
The question really is, are you normal?
I don't drink.
So you and I together are both not normal.
Well, that, no, okay, that'll
be. Both of you have something in common, we're both not normal, which means basically we're the only two normal people left in the yeshiva. So it's good that I found you.
I'm switching shear about the pizza.
Birds of a feather flock together. Anyway, yes, I do drink a chol Hamoed. I'm not saying I don't find it distasteful. I just don't enjoy it so much, but it's fine. I don't mind if it's a good wine. I like those Moscato wines. They have that.
You do a good job. Bartonura.
What was that?
Bartonura.
Correct, Bartonura wine.
There we go.
You do have
the same page.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. Good. There's hope for you. He also has a sense of humor. Almost as deadpan as mine. Anyway, so the this is the second issue and the third issue actually. I mean, I'll just mention one or two more items that also are relevant to this concept that Haseba, of course that we don't do the whole year. But Dafka on the Haseba, you have to make sure you drink Haseba. All the four kosos have to be drunk. Now, what exactly Haseba is, I'm not going to get into it right now. It's a whole sugya and Avrim Sochan. But tell me, what can you not do? Which side should you not do Haseba on?
Right.
So the right side, Haseba Siyam, Lushma Haseba. So you have to do it somehow on the Tzad Smol. On the left-hand side, that's what you do. Exactly how it's done, okay, that needs a lot more discussion, which is not really my my issue, what I want to discuss right now. Okay, now, this is in terms of the issue of the Kiddush. I want to mention one more thing. That the four brachos that we recite, of course, so therefore they have to be done again. Alaseder means that when you go ahead and make the different, you finish the four different mitzvahs. The Gemara says that Chazal Masakin four brachos. The Gemara Stikasha when it talks about zugos, a very fascinating sugya. So the Gemara Stikasha, how could you have four kosos of the problem of zugos? The Gemara answers, well, Gemara has several answers, three answers. Well, the answer of the Gemara is that no, each one is a seven mitzvah, b'yam b'nafshi. Each one is a seven bracha. The first kosh is on Kiddush. Second kosh is on what? On Magid, correct? Third kosh is Birchas Hamazon, on benching. And the fourth kosh is Hallel. So these are the four koshes that we have, four seven mitzvahs in effect. But in effect, we're, as you pointed out correctly, that these four kosas that we do, we have to try to the extent that we can, do it by Haseba. We must do it by Haseba. Otherwise, it's, the halacha is that Haseba is ma'akev. It's ma'akev in the eating matzah, and it's ma'akev as well in the drinking of the dalal kosas. Now, I just want to mention another kasha, which is also, I imagine you're probably somewhat familiar with it, maybe. And then let's get to the second part of the Seder, which is Urechatz. Now, Urechatz is a din, I assume you're familiar with it, that the Gemara says that Stam Yadayim, hands, the hands of a person, essentially carry Tumah. The hands of a person are considered to be Sheini L'Tumah. Yadav Shneios L'Tumah. That's the Gemara in Shabbos, the Fifes, and also Mishnayos and Taros, you're probably familiar with them, Sugis and Chagiga. The Gemara indicates that the Yadayim of a person are Sheini L'Tumah. You know, there are different levels of Tumah that you probably have some idea. I don't know if you learned the Sugah of Chanina Sanakadi. That's already complicated. And you doubt it. Till Daf, I assume till Daf Chafal. You doubt to Chafal if you are familiar with that Sugya? That you probably didn't learn. Okay, one day, B'ez Hashem, hopefully in the near future, we'll get to those Sugyas of Tumah V'Tara. So there's a din that Stam Yadayim Mashniyas L'Tumah, and there's a further Gzer D'Rabbanan that Hashem L'Tumah can actually make Truma unfit. Sheini L'Tumah actually can make liquids of Rishon L'Tumah. Okay, I'm not going to go into all these details. However, this Takana doesn't apply nowadays. We don't observe laws of Tumah V'Tara. We only observe the Wem is Manavidash. When the Midrash was dying, we observed those of Tumah V'Tara. So now the question is, is there a din of washing before dipping food into a liquid? That's called Gavashet Tibula B'Mashke. This is a din discussed in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Kufnun Ches. It's in Kufnun Ches and Kufnun Tes. That's where the Archaim discussed this halacha. Gavashet Tibula B'Mashke. I think I said over, you probably heard me, when I was in Teaneck. Teaneck is a city in New Jersey. Is it still there?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. Anyway, so when I was in Teaneck, New Jersey, they took me once, a number of years ago, to Dunkin' Donuts. That was supposed to be a pleasurable experience for me. And then they showed me that you have to go take the donut and you dip it, you dunk it in the coffee or whatever. So I right away was puzzled by the fact there's a din that once you dunk something in seven mashkim, yad shochadam, you have to wash your hands. I didn't see anybody there washing their hands. That was problem one. Problem two was I had a question whether the donut is pas yisrael or pasakim. At the end, I didn't have neither coffee nor donut nor anything. I did have a drink of water. Anyway, so and all the others did the whatever dunking they did.
Maybe they didn't have milk in their coffee.
It's possible. They have had some other mashkim. I don't know, the yad shochadam, there were seven mashkim. But anyway, the reason why this is relevant, generally speaking, the Taisim points out, that's Taisim Sochim. Doesn't he discuss this? Taisim Sochim. And that Kuf Tez Rav Mubez. Discuss this halacha. We don't do it today. Are we makrin on Tumah V'Tara? I don't think we're makrin on Farzaino. Adinim of Tumah V'Tara. So therefore, even though it doesn't apply, we're not careful about eating tummy food. However, there's a halacha that you have to wash before you dip food into a liquid the way you wash before bread. So in the case of Dabashet Tibul B'Mashgeh, we wash in Tilas Yadayim, we don't say a bracha, because a bracha will be a bracha batola. And matter of fact, the Taz is the Kasha, Manishtana Alay Lazem, and Karl Lelos. You know what I'm talking about? What do we dip into a mashgeh?
Karpas.
What do we dip it in?
Salt
water, correct. We dip karpas in salt water, so that's dipping. That's water, correct? And that's called Dabashit Tibul B'Mashgeh. Anytime you dip something into a mashgeh, the Vilna Gaon is makrid even today. He was running on honor. The Gaon says this halacha is applicable with a bracha. But we don't pass it like that. We pass it even if you have to wash your hands. We're not going to do so with a bracha. That's not our practice. Anyway, so, but the Taz says in Shemalach, Manishtana, Laila, Zemekah, Leilos. Why are we only makrid on this on Leila Seder? Urachatz. Why is it that we're only makrid on Leila Seder? We're not makrid Kol HaShem Kula. And as I said, the Vilna Gaon holds you should be makrid Kol HaShem Kula, and you actually make a bracha when you dip something into one of the seven mashkim. And there's a famous Netziv. I actually brought his Haggadah with me. The Netziv has in his Haggadah Imre Shefer. He has a whole defense of this issue. The Netziv writes here in the Haggadah, Imre Shefer, he says the following, very fascinating Kiddush. He writes actually that we wash our hands on here it is. It says, Yim Rabbi Shemra Agoda, he writes that we wash our hands on Seder night because of a different reason. Zecher LeMikdash. He says here that we conduct ourselves during the Seder the way they did at the time when Pesach was eaten. And at that time, they needed to Yosef Yadayim in order to avoid a Seder Tumah. By the way, some people have a practice, I don't know what your practice is, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, that only the one who's doing the Haggadah, namely the father, only he actually practices the Rechatz. What does Sfaradim do? Everyone. But there are some Ashkenazim that only one person does it. That's a discussion here in the Gemara Pesachim, if you remember. You remember?
That's talking about
Rechatz. Yeah, that's not talking about Rechatz. Talking about Akiras HaShulchan. Whatever that is, that needs a separate discussion. But I'm talking about, as far as who says the Haggadah? Does everyone say the Haggadah? One person says it, and everyone else says Shemek Omne, or Brovam Habes Melech. So that's also a discussion to go up. Arab Sochin. Everything's an Arab Sochin. And so the question is, what do you do? What's your practice? Everyone says something? Or your father? Fathers? Shlito, Shlito. Should have a... Shouldn't be well, maybe have some shalom. So what do they do? How do you work in your homes? What do you do? Anyone remember? Everyone does it. Everyone says Haggadah basically. And then I guess he just conducts the affairs of state. Alright, but anyway, this is the issue of Urchatz, and as I said that Urchatz, the reason why the Nitziv says here we only do it today because it's Zechel HaMikdash, we're doing a lot of things Zechel HaMikdash. What else do we do, let's say on Pesach night, Zechel HaMikdash, anyone know?
Dang.
What else is Zechel HaMikdash on Pesach night?
Dang.
Okay, good. And that is, and we have both the shank bone, we roast actually both the shank bone, the zor, and the beitzah. And by the way, there's Zechel to two karbanos that were brought on Pesach, namely Chagiga and Karban Pesach. The last Mishnah in Psochim, you probably know the last Mishnah, regarding the bracha, you haven't reviewed it sufficiently. Lefi ani yizdaiti. Maybe I'm wrong.
I need a few more.
What?
Yeah, I need a few more.
Okay, excellent. You're a very good man. You're all very good men. So you have to review. If you don't review, I don't have such a good memory like you. You remember things at one time, and I coach you remember anything. What I said 5 minutes ago, I don't remember 5 minutes later. Unless I review it tens and tens of times. Anyway, there's a Mishnah at the end of the last Mishnah in Arab Sochim. It talks about the two Karbanos. The Karban Chagiga was eaten before the Karban Pesach. In order the Pesach should be eaten ala soba. What does al-Soba mean?
Full belly.
When you're satiated, correct, the full belly. You're supposed to be more or less satiated when you eat the Karban Pesach. So that's very important.
How's
an Achilas Gasa? What?
How's an Achilas
Gasa? It's not called Achilas Gasa. Taste has 2 days what Achilas Gasa is. And the one that really you have to be concerned about is where you are essentially in Papagayos for the meal that costs 190 shekel, all that you want to eat for the shall we say, in the next 6 hours. And you just stuff yourself to the gills and you're completely sated, saturated, surfeited beyond belief, and you continue to eat. That's called Achila Gasa. So there you are, Baruch Hashem, paying 190 shekel, getting a great meal, violating a few surim, while you're at it, it's great. That's the Gevalt. Anyway, but that would be the Achila Gasa that would be problematic. But just when a person is full, the Gemara says in the Gila, Rav Chol Abis Mashriach. The Gemara says, there's always room for a little bit more sweets, you know, whatever.
Dessert.
Sweets are dessert. There's always room for that.
Shabbat shortcake.
What was that?
Shabbat
shortcake, something along those lines.
A second on the lips.
What was that?
A second on the lips. It's a lifetime.
Wow.
Never.
You hear that motion?
Never going to forget.
Say it again. They missed it.
A second on the lips is a lifetime on the hips. I think the Rosh Yehuda gave that to
you. I, you were Mechadish, not me. I wasn't Mechadish. I just quote you, maybe Gula Lailam. I want to bring Gula to the world, so I quote you all the time. I've actually quoted you in my shul, and they asked me, who is that fellow? I said, he's for the Redhead League in my shul. He actually wrote, he was connected to Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, etc., etc. Anyway, they don't know what I'm talking about. It doesn't make a difference. Only you understand what I'm talking about. Because no one reads anything here, so you would never... Anyone ever read anything?
No.
Yeah.
The last 18
Sherlock
years?
Holmes.
What?
I used to read Sherlock Holmes.
You actually read Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder you went to Flatbush. You had nothing to do over there. what are you supposed to do all day? Anyway, so... great.
What's the Rosh Yehuda do in his house? Does only Rosh Yehuda say that God there?
The answer is yes. I say the Haggadah. However, I have Baruch Hashem children and grandchildren, and mostly today grandchildren who have what to say. Wow, They have enough to say to last for 6 months. I'm not joking. The kosher we make, the kosher, the afikoman b'chatzos, the kosher gadol. Every year it's the same thing. This year must be around, what time, 12:40 or so? Usually that's what it is. So we barely make it. I'm pretty mocking it. I don't like to use the Tanaya de Alinezer, which needs a whole shear, but anyway, I try to avoid that. And Baruch Hashem, I've been able to make it. But no, basically, I don't say much. It's all my grandchildren. They have what to say, Dibre Torah. Cannot believe. These are 5, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old little children. Mele'im Dushi. I'm actually learning now with the grandson, because he has a Ben Azmani. So he's teaching me the Shabbos Chagiga. Now we were learning the last paragraph that deals with Tumah V'Tahara. Kamashi takes it like this. He snaps his finger. That's one of the 1,000 reasons to make Aliyah live in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, what can I do? I'm just being honest. I have a little grandson. I think he's 5 years old. Every Shabbos, he asks me a kasha and a parsha. I don't know what to do with him. I can't answer that. I'm going to send him to you.
I love that today.
Very sharp kashas on the parsha. He asks me every single week. He knows the parsha Shavua. I can't say he knows it by heart, but he actually, right now, he's 5. So the only parshas he knows by heart are Bereishis, Noach, and Lech Lecha. 5-year-old kid by heart, Bereishis, Noach, and Lech Lecha. I see him, I run for my life. Otherwise I'll be embarrassed. I don't know what to do. I'm not joking. I'm telling you the honest truth. It's crazy. That's one of the positive Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's go on to Karpas. Now Karpas, as you know, as you mentioned before, that, by the way, generally you mentioned earlier, there was a reason for Karpas. What does the Gemara say the reason for Karpas is? Gemara Avriv Sochin. Everything's Avriv Sochin today.
Children
I care of the two logos. We want children to ask. The Gemara even points out that once they removed the table, and by the way, Abaye asked Rabbah. Rabbah was the one who raised Abaye because Abaye's parents died. And so he asked, Rabbah, what's going on here? We didn't eat yet. Must have been, I'd say he was 5 years old. We didn't eat yet. What's going on here? What did he take off the table? Oh, so he said, Patrasa v'lema manishtana. You pat me when you say twice in Arim Sochin, the Gemara said, Patrasa v'lema manishtana. That's one time. What's the second time? What? The Eved, excellent. What's the case of the Eved? Eved, that what? The Rebbe, the master, did what? Well, so what does the Gemara say?
He should say all the
Shabbos. He should say, Shach Lodah. That says, Loduya l'shmuche. He said, oh, once you did that, Patrasim alone, Manashtana, twice in Avim Sochim, this comes up. That's how you have to know Avim Sochim. I don't know it at all, but I have to learn Avim Sochim every year. So I learned it for about 40 times already. So a little bit comes into my head. Yes?
How does the second case pater from Manashtana? You can ask a question.
Because what's the whole idea of this, as I said, we want children to ask questions. Kadesha, Lo Yishnu, we put them to sleep Erev Pesach. Who used to put them to sleep Erev Pesach? Who? Which Tana put his children to sleep Erev Pesach? Abakiva, correct, excellent. Very good, he's my Rebbe. My Rebbe book. Abakiva put his kids to sleep there. They shouldn't sleep. When should they not sleep? Well, I'll say that. Be yishalom. And then the last question. Okay, so what bothers you?
The first place where you go, what does Ramah
say? Right. So there, by exactly quit. Once he asked the question, then where you see he's holding.
In the one with the Eben, he didn't ask a question.
Excellent. What's the answer to that, Akasha? Why Patrasa? There are 2 girsals there. Wow, you're a good man. There are different girsals. Here's the Gemara. Adaf Kufta Zayin. Right over here. Gemara says, Omer le'anachman le'doro abdei. Anachman said to Doro, his Eved. Abdei le'mabli le'mora le'cheirus. An Eved that was sent to freedom by his master. Yod le'kasma v'zavra. He gave him gold and silver. What's that din of giving an Eved gold and silver when you release it? That's called what? The din of Ha'anoka, ha'anek ta'anik lo, basu chumish. That's a student in Kedushin. Babsukim chumish. Correct? So now, my brother, member, what should he say? Oh, he should say, Shach Loda. Amalek, Patrasim Elayim, Ananishtana. So there's a Me'iri over here, has a different gear to the Gemara. Because they're asking a good question. Where's the Patrasim Elayim, Ananishtana? Why? Why should he be Potter? I just want to see if the Farshim here, I don't see that they. explain the question, which is a very good question that you just raised. So they have a different girsa, and that probably would take care of this of that problem. But we have to look. I'll try to, if I remember, to look into it. Okay, so now back to the issue of karpas. So it's a keru tinokos. By the way, how much of karpas do we eat?
Less than
gazayis. Why do we eat less than gazayis? Because we don't have bichayv bracha achrona. It happens to be that the Rambam is a famous girsa of the Rambam. The Rambam says ve'eichlin gazayis karpas. That creates a lot of problems. You know, the Rambam was created a lot of problems. You're familiar with the Rambam? That's all he does, is create problems for us. So some say it's a mistake in the Rambam, because the Rambam does not mention Kizayis where he should mention, namely, Morar. He doesn't say Kizayis by Morar. How's that possible? Morar, for sure, is a mitzvah achila. Baharaya, how do I know Morar is a mitzvah achila? Could you bring me a proof from the... How do I know there's a din to eat Morar? How would you know that? Okay, the pasuk says al matzahs morim yochlu, but also another raya from the fact that the bracha, you make a bracha on mara, correct? Mara is a din d'rabbanan, make a bracha on achilas mara. That sounds like it's a mitzvah achila. En achila b'chus mikizayis, the Gemara says. So why does the Rambam not mention by mara kizayis, yet he mentions it by karpas? So some say it's a mistake. That kizayis of karpas belongs by the mara. What do you say to that explanation? I see you're not happy with it. You're a good man. You believe what it says in the text. You don't just go ahead and shall we say, correct text, stamaze. So, but there's Agos Mamilius who claims that. But anyway, this is the issue of karpas, that, as you said, you make you make a bracha as well. What bracha do you make? Of course, bracha piyadama. Gemara's macholik is of chizav avuna. Remember that macholik is of chizav avuna? Let's say, I don't know what you do. What do you do for Mara? What do you use for Mara? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both of you. Roman letters. It means using Roman letters both for karpas and for a moro. So do I. I'm the same.
You use celery for karpas.
Oh, celery. You know what my mother Lashon told me? That karpas stands for celery. That's the samach. Oh, no. That's the samach at the end. Chof is carrots. Resh is radish. Pei is parsley. And samach is celery. I thought my mother was joking. Was she joking? There's a pasuk. Which pasuk is that? So that's what I think my mother said jokingly. My parents never went to yeshiva, they're in their lives, so this is what they would say over. But I also use chazeres, I use romaine lettuce for both the karpas as well as for mara. My wife doesn't. My wife uses for mara the root. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone here eat the root?
Yeah, good stuff.
Yes, it is. And I always make jokes that my wife does it because there's a pasuk in Tanakh, twice in Tanakh the pasuk is found. It says, Allah ashon bi apo, smoke will come through your nostrils, ve'esh mi piv tochel, and fire will come out of your mouth, gecholim baro mimenu, coals. So when my wife eats the maro, it's like, you'll get a kick out of the next statement, it's like snorting. Of course, none of you know what that is. But anyway, so the when you snort the mara, should I use the verb properly? Doesn't it fit the passage that I quoted to you? Fits perfectly. Anyway, so she eats mara, but the problem the gemara has, as you know, is what problem does the gemara raise? If I'm going to use chazeres twice, so what's the problem? Correct. I don't know, you're part of mara, but basically, how could you go ahead and make another bracha? So it's machlokes in the Gemara. Do I make two brachas the first time, name the bracha Adam and the bracha Achilas Maror? Or no? Perhaps I make Achilas Maror afterwards. But the problem is, Achrei Shemilei Kreso Imenu Eichaisu Bevarich Alei. The Gemara says, once I stop myself, how can I go make another bracha? So what do we do? Halacha Lemaisa. No, Halacha Lemaisa. What do we do? Do we? Just try to remember what we do. Perhaps we do not do so. What do? We make actually, at the very beginning, Rabbi Adama eat less than the Kazayas, as mentioned, and then later on, make the bracha of Achias Mara. But how do we can't take care of this problem?
We have in mind that's only for Kazayas?
Correct. So that's exactly what this is what Taisa discusses over here, the very famous Taisa. Namely, there's a din that Dvarim Haboyim Machmas Asuda. Normally, if something that's normally eaten as part of the meal is exempt from a bracha, correct? How is it exempt from a bracha of the Hamotzi? The Hamotzi I make at the beginning of the meal. What does Hamotzi do? The Rosh writes this in brachas. The Rosh says, when I make a motzi, I'm creating the framework of the meal. And whatever's included in the frame, because that meal is only going to be pocketed by Hamotzi. Hamotzi will take care of it. You understand what I'm saying? The potatoes I eat, the rice that I eat, the meat that I eat, the chicken that I eat, whatever I'm going to eat, and the course of the meal will be covered by the Hamotzi that I made at the beginning of the meal. That's called Ram HaBoyim, Machmas HaSuda, Biyamsa HaSuda. So the question now is, what about the vegetables that are being used in the Mitzvah Morah? That's called Ram HaBoyim, Machmas HaSuda, because generally people eat vegetable salad at the beginning of the meal and whet their appetite. That's what Taisa says, the waste of appetite for what they're going to eat later on. Therefore, eating a mara doesn't require a seven bracha rishona. In contrast to romaine lettuce, chrein. Anyone knows what chrein is?
Yeah,
it's a Yiddish word. You know what chrein is too?
What?
The gefilte fish. Right. They just, very rare do you see ketchup as kosher and Pesach. So they showed me this week, ketchup, kosher and Pesach. Comes from London. From the KM, which happens to be a very good hashgacha. I never heard of ketchup, kosher, pesach my entire life. So my grandchildren is great, because they always eat ketchup, and together with the ketchup, they eat, let's say, some other things. The ketchup is the ikar, and what else they eat is tafel. They just take the ketchup and dump the entire Heinz ketchup on the item. So the problem with ketchup, it has vinegar, sometimes it has corn syrup, kidney is for Ashkenazim, not for Sfaradim. You guys can eat whatever you like and have a good time. The Ashkenazim are constrained. Kiilu, we have no food to eat. Looks like I'm undernourished, doesn't it? Anyway, so the we don't think we have to worry about what to eat. But this time they put out the KF, which is the Ashkocha in London. They made a special run in Spain. They did it. And they produced a lot of ketchup. And really, it's because many people ask me about it. Okay, but you said correctly, namely, that here we have Dvarim Haboyim Machmas HaSuda, that's the question, whether how do you not beside Burpi Adama over the Maror. So there's a famous Tosfos quotes it here a number of times, and it's already mentioned by many poskim. Namely, there's a famous poem that was composed by one of the great Rishonim, Rabbi Yossi Tuvelo. Do you learn any Tosfos in Avrim Sochem? Anybody? Not really. A little bit?
Couple.
You ever came across Rabbi Yossi Tuvelo? He wrote a piyut that more or less summarized all Hilchos Pesach. In a piyut, some people say, you know who says it? His father says it. Any of you guys say it? You don't say that? You have enough, the Haggadah is sufficient. You don't need more. Okay? You say it more. But anyway, see, he has a famous piyut in Elokei Aruchos, and he points this out. He asks, why do we bring Shari Rako? Then that's what we're doing here in the Karpas. Why do Karpas come first? In order to basically pat to the Chazera from the required bracha. Rabbi Mishonah. It means the purpose of the Kapra is in order to say Rabbi Adama, so you can eat tomorrow later without making a Bracha Mishonah, there's no need to do so. And he basically holds not like what I just told you. I just told you before that this continued to be Dvarim HaBoyim Machmas HaSuda. He says no, he doesn't agree with that position. He doesn't hold it's continued to be Dvarim HaBoyim Machmas HaSuda. The reason we don't make a Bracha Rabbi Adama, he already said the Bracha on the Kapra, so we tend to exempt the Mar from the Bracha. It means when the Gemara says that Sekeru the Tinokov, it's only present, the reason why we put it at the beginning of the Seder, not later. But the reason is in order to relieve the Mara from the Bracha Rishonah. Okay, anyway, I'm just mentioning that. That's what he quotes here also from Rabbi Yossi Tuvelo. Rabbi Yossi Tuvelo quoted actually, it's a quote with Shabbat HaGadol. Some people say Piyutim, Shabbat HaGadol. By the way, this, you know when Shabbat HaGadol is the Shabbat before Pesach. However, this year, the Drasha, I have to give the Drasha, I'm a Rav in the Shul. And I give it Russia. So you give it this year, this coming week, as opposed to next week, because of the problem of Erev Pesach, Shechol B'Shabbat, where the time is very limited in terms of eating bread. I'm not sure what your practice is. Maybe we'll just mention it now. I assume you probably don't remember too many, because the last time it happened was 13 years ago. You were young men. Do you recall what you did?
No.
Okay. So I'll just give you a little hint. So many people, here's what they do. They'll divide the meal, the morning meal, into two. They'll have two meals of bread. One the night before, Friday night, and then two on Shabbos in the morning. They'll have two meals of bread. And they'll do it. They have to finish eating by the fourth hour, which is about 10 o'clock or so, 10:15. I'm not sure exactly the specific time. And then the problem is, of course, that in general, the third meal is always supposed to be after Mincha. And that's in the afternoon. So in order to be yotzei that day, what they'll do is they'll eat some meat and some fish or some fruit in the afternoon as well. They'll take care of that problem. To Ramah. The Ramah said you shouldn't have sudash l'shit till after mincha. But here you're davening usually earlier, and everything is earlier because you have to finish everything earlier. So that's generally what is done, just to give you a bit of a hint regarding this matter. Okay.
So did we sum up the Rama? How are the Rama in the works according to the opinion that we do it because
the fact that he mentions the Gezais, the Rambam. We didn't solve it. Rabbi Shechter has a practice. He's noyeg to eat karpas, to nibble on it. From the time we start karpas, he nibbles on it all the way till the bracha of al-achilas matzah ha-motzi, till he washes it in for matzah ha-motzi. Why? But the Rambam says karpas gezeis. I don't think anyone is doing like that, except for Rabbi Shechter. I don't think the Rambam is doing like that, as far as I know. I wasn't present at his seder. There's a very beautiful little sefer that just came out from Rabbi Aaron Adler. He was Mishamish the Rav. 70 conversations with our Soloveitchik. I'm not telling you should buy it. Of course I bought it. It was delivered yesterday. The moment it was delivered, I was actually outside my house when Michael Rose came to bring it to me. And I then promptly sat down on my stoop and read the entire sefer. I had gebaldike hanoah. Tremendous hanoah from reading it. I'm not saying you should buy it, Sam. First you should go to Rashi and Shas. But maybe just as an appetizer, you'll... Wow.
How does
I don't know how it solves the problem. I didn't discuss it with him. I heard that in his name. I'm not sure what to say. I'm just saying this. I've always been showing him over here in terms of the karpas, what exactly one does. But there's another issue with the Hesfadas issue. So this with Ben Nibling, there's not a Hesfadas. He's able to maintain this ongoing. Because otherwise you have a pause. The Gemara says in Kuf Tes Vav here, Imsochim, that pause between the eating of the carpet and the eating of the mara. Correct? You have to have in mind, according to what we do. Have in mind for the mara, you made a very adama now, have in mind for the mara later on. But the problem is that there's a massive pause, there's a hesach hadas. So even though you wash your hands before you dip the carpet in the salt water, you have to wash again. You wash again prior to reciting the bracha and the matzah. Correct? Make another bracha. So therefore, if that's the case, we assume that some sort of eschat. I think Mara says it. With reference to washing hands. So why isn't there a problem also here with reference to this issue? Namely, you wash your hands before you dip the karpas, so the same thing should disqualify the Bar Piyat Dhamma from being able to accept the Mara eating later on. So in order to take care of that problem, I'm a chef to nibbles, in order that now there's no eschat. But I'm not sure it solves the Kizai's problem with the Rambam.
It should be the same thing. I mean, the reason why that that we want to have less than kizayas and we want to be higher on top chrome. And so we're saying that there can't be any hesach hadas, so maybe it's the same thing as the kaddish, meaning it's just one seder, and it doesn't matter if you're going to be higher on top chrome, because it's not going to be hesach hadas, it's going to be in the seder.
Okay.
And that's the hesach hadas of the washing is different, because that's hesach hadas of action.
As opposed to this, which is?
This is, we're saying that you're still on some level, you have a kavanah to the bracha because you're doing a certain mitzvah in between. That's not hesach hadas in terms of the bracha, but in terms
the
of
distinction
I scratch myself or I might end up.
I hear. Good. Very possible. I just mentioned, as far as the criteria for karpas, I don't know if anyone here lives in Elizabeth, New Jersey. So there was a rabbi in Elizabeth named Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, that's all. And now his son is the rabbi of Elizabeth Teitz. I think grandchildren now, the Rambam, it's like a legacy, a rabbinic legacy. So he was makbid to use for karpas bananas. You ever hear anything like that? Why? Because he wanted to establish that what bracha do you make on a banana? Bar Pi Adama. And the criteria for karpas is Bar Pi Adama. That's what the Pesukim say. That's the criteria for karpas, the bracha Bar Pi Adama. And therefore, especially if you're also going to pop you from the Mara afterwards, it's got to be Bar Pi Adama. So he wanted to establish that on banana. Why should banana necessarily not be Bar Pi Adama, perhaps? Why? Any reason? What?
Well,
What's the nature of the banana tree? It sloughs off, correct? And therefore it disappears, and then it regrows again. So that may better not be, in order to make Gaya Dhamma, what is the root, what is the rule of thumb, what's the criteria? It has to be a perennial. So perhaps this is not a perennial. Maskan is, yes, it is a perennial. And Leila, you make a bracha Gaya Dhamma. So that's what he passed on the aloha. But all the other things that I mentioned, some people ask me about the green peppers, cucumbers, as long as you make a bracha Gaya Dhamma, you can use it for, you could use it for the purpose of karpas. There's a question, there's a big machlokes, so this is an interesting machlokes also. The Baal HaTanya, anyone Chabad here? Oh, excellent. Baruch Hashem, that's right, you are Chabad. You're a good man. What, do you know what you use for karpas?
Usually use potatoes.
Potatoes, okay. I heard they use onions.
Is that actual
what?
Is that fake Chabad?
What that's supposed to mean? Wow! What a statement! Well, can I ask you for an explanation of that statement?
Very difficult explanation.
Let's hear it.
It's full
circle. I can't get into it now.
You are PC, politically correct. Okay, Baruch Hashem. There's nothing wrong with being a Chabad. Chabads are they're a very beautiful and wonderful, according to my humble opinion. Wonderful group of people. You know, Mr. Alevichik, Zatzal was very, very friendly with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Shalom, Zechatzak Debracha, Zechatzak Debracha. Just to make sure that. But he was very friendly with him. And Chabad, really, to a large extent, they probably are responsible for the Hatzalah of many, many communities. Incredible what they've done throughout the world. My family comes from. You probably never heard of the state. Most people, the people of the Sephardim here, only don't even know they're Ashkenazi Jews. So lucky they came to the yeshiva to discover there's some Ashkenazim in the world. And don't worry, the Ashkenazim don't know they're Sephardim, so it's a mutual kind of thing. Anyway, but the my family comes from Portland, Maine. You ever heard of a state called Maine? Upper northeastern corner of the United States. Were you ever there?
No.
Well, how far did you travel? Where do you live?
Now?
Yeah.
Been everywhere.
Been a bunch of places.
Yeah, I know you've been a bunch of places. Where? What other places
Florida
you live?
Florida now.
Where?
Live in Florida.
Oh, you're a wise man. You like good weather. But before that?
Tina. And then before that, Maryland.
Maryland. Uh-huh. And before that?
West Orange.
Wow, you've been around the block. Oh, actually, you like to move from place to place. Okay, you know the Gemara says the Makkas, Golos Mechaperis. That's what you have kapara for. You probably have tzadik, so you don't need any kapara, but Golos does that. So I've been around, not many, not as much as you, but you're much older than I am anyway, but the, I grew up in the Bronx, New York. New York, you ever heard of New York City?
Yeah.
Okay. And then after the Bronx, New York, I then moved to Providence, Rhode Island. You probably never heard of Rhode Island. It's like the small state in the union?
Where is it?
Okay. Well, you don't travel much. You just stay where you are. You came to Israel. You know, this is a different country. You're aware of that.
Yeah.
It's not a suburb of New York. But anyway, I lived in St. Louis, Missouri. That's where his father was, my Rebbe, in St. Louis, Missouri. You know that, Dylan? And then subsequently, I lived in Toronto. In Canada, and then came to Israel. Baruch Hashem. I hope this is the Tachana Achrona, the last stop, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope that wish you, all of you, should be zeche to come down to sell Alibi.
Oh,
Alibi. We need people like you. We need some moderate, balanced, normal people to put the country in order. I'm trying my best, but I can't do it myself. I need your assistance. Anyway, so I have mishpach in Portland, Maine. Now, Portland, Maine doesn't have too many from people there, unfortunately. I have cousins there. I still live there. And so the place almost fell apart Jewishly. Who appeared on the scene? Who saved the day? Chabad. Rebuilt the mikveh, rebuilt the shul, rebuilt the day school, and it ain't fake. It's real.
Oh, it's real. It's not.
I don't think this caught it, Baruch Hashem. Wow, he's a tough guy. Wow. Where are you from? You told me once. Where are you from?
Yeah, Blackouts.
That's what I thought.
That explains it all. He's also
that,
so.
I know that. There is a Chabad in the Five Towns, you're quite aware of. You dabbed there.
Yeah,
Father the Gabbai. Father the Gabbai. It's in that house.
Yeah.
What's the name of that street?
Maple.
Right. And the Rav is an outstanding person. Outstanding Tamachol. I've met him a number of times. There are one or two families that I know there. I won't mention them right now. Maybe privately, if you and I have a discussion, we'll talk about it. Wow. Okay. The reason why we eat less than the Gezaya is because we have a problem with the Bracha Achrona. We don't want to make a Bracha Achrona right in the Foshas. And because otherwise according to Balei Tesis, there'll be a Hesach Hadas, and the Bracha Achrona will be necessary if you eat more than Gezaya. So we're sort of in a difficulty. It's a bit of a pickle. Ever heard that expression? A bit of a pickle? A fake pickle, sorry. It's not a real pickle. But okay, this is the issue of Kachas. Yachas, let's go on to the next item. Now, Yachas is a very, I assume you're familiar with what happens in Yachas. The minhag is to actually wrap the matzah that we put away for Afikoman. How many matzahs do you have? Let's hear now.
Three.
Three. All of us have three, or someone here has two? Anybody follow the Rambam Shita, the Rif, other Rishonim? Svardin here, what do you do?
Three.
Wow. You also?
Three.
Okay. So that's the practice, that three matzot. And now we're going to break the middle matzot, and that's called yachatz. By the way, when do we have yachatz? Kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz. Correct? What does the Rambam do? Where does the Rambam put yachatz? Not there, as we do. He puts yachatz right when we're about to make the bracha, lamotzi, achilas matzah. That needs a whole shiur. Why the Rambam has a different position on the matter. But in terms of yachatz in and of itself, so the din is that we're going to put away part of that matzah for Afikoman, because generally the assumption is, most Rishonim hold that what is the Afikoman? That's the last Mishnah, Kiman. Eim Aftir Lecha Pesach, Afikoman. Do you remember that Mishnah that you reviewed a few times? So what is the Afikoman? What is it a Zeche for? The Afikoman, Zeche for what?
Pesach.
According to many Rishonim, what? Excellent. It's eaten at the end of the meal, and therefore we treat this matzah as if it were a karban. It's a kind of a karban, the afikoman that we're eating at the end of the meal. By the way, I don't know if you're familiar. I'm a shtickel briska. I learned Rav Soloveitchik. And therefore, what I do is it keeps my grandchildren awake the entire Seder. The din is that a karban requires constant shmira. A karban cannot be subjected to hesek hadas. Hesek hadas means where you lose sight of the korban. It becomes invalid for Hesed Hadas because the korban may become tummy. That's the Gemara Masochet. You probably know this Gemara. Which Gemara am I referring to? The Gemara on Daf, Lamed Daled. The Gemara in Kol Shom. Did you get to that? So the Gemara speaks here about Tumah. Hesed Hadas. Have you heard of Absul Tumah Abi? Have Shimon Malok Shom Absul Aguf Abi? Is it Absul Tumah or Absul Aguf? But the Mishnah in Parah says that if a barrel of Mechatas, that's water to which ashes of the paradum will be added. So the din is that also has to be guarded from tumba. So it's disqualified if there's a lack of shmirah. So that's why during the Seder, the meat of the Karban Pesach probably was wrapped and placed in a guarded location until we were able to eat the meat of the Karban Pesach. So the minhag developed out of a similar concern of tumba. That's chadas, that we wrap the afikoman and keep it under one's pillow or tablecloth. But what do children try to do?
Steal
the afikoman. What's that based on?
Keeps the kids away.
That's a very good point that you raised. So that will keep them away because they try to steal the afikoman. So I, this is the practice actually of people who follow the tradition of brisk. What they do is that actually they hold on to the, isn't the expression, you keep the cards close to your chest? So where do I keep my afikoman? Right here. And my grandchildren try to steal it the entire night. I have kli b'toch kli, and I have a zipper kind of apparatus where I attach it to my jacket. And they attempt the entire night to steal it, and those who succeed, which is kibat never happened, will get a very good prize at the end. But he keeps them up the entire time. All of them. Young men, young women, all of them. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. I thought you were referring to this Gemara. What might be the marker for this? A Gemara in Avim Pesachim. No? I'm talking about the minute of trying to steal the Avakemim. Excellent. Chayfid Masas Balel Pesachim. Why? What does the Gemara say? Exactly. Kadesh Alishinu V'Yishalo. The Rashbam has several Pshatim. But this could be very well one of the explanations. I'm down from Kuf Tesam and Aleph. I'm sorry? That Rashi is not talking about the issue of Chayfin. But Chayfin might very well be where there's a, the way the Rambam presents it, look at the Rambam, almost like there's a matzah fight going on. That's how the Rambam interprets this Gemara, Chayfin matzah leilig sof. Okay, but this is very important. The reason why we break the matzah is, what's the reason why we break the matzah? Why don't I just focus over here? Why do we break the matzah? Because matzah is called lechem oni. And the Gemara has made a pshat about oni. What pshat in oni is? Ma oni dakashet brusa, akabe brusa. Oni doesn't have a full matzah. His matzah is parus. How do you translate parus? Split. Correct? He doesn't have a full matzah. Therefore we have, and this also is very important because the Rambam only has, as I said, not three matzahs the way all of us had. The Rambam basically had two. One is broken. And according to the Rambam, there's one din which normally applies every Shabbos. Doesn't apply on Leil HaSeder. What din is that called? Lachem Mishneh. According to the Rambam, it's not applicable. Why? Because there's a struggle between Lechem Oni and Lechem Mishneh. And which one overcomes, which one trumps? I can't use that word anymore because he's gone. But anyway, which one trumps? The answer is that Lechem Oni trumps Lechem Mishneh. Lechem Mishneh, that said the Rambam doesn't exist. It's not Kayim Aleil HaSeder. So that's where we have the idea of Yachatz. And therefore...
Is that why the Rambam only has two matzahs?
Yes. The Rambam only has two matzahs. I'm going to break one and because of Lechem Oni. The Rambam says it himself. I don't have the Rambam in front of me. But trust me, that's what he says, the Rambam.
And then we have three to be in kind of book.
We have three because of Kohen Levi Yisrael. All kinds of different reasons that are given. But basically the Rambam says, no Lechem Mishneh Aleil HaSeder. Only Lechem Oni. That's the... By the way, those who follow Menhag Yagro... And the briskets, those who have the Rambam sheet, only have two matzahs. Now, I debated with myself what I should do over the years from the time I got married. But in general, I followed my father, Shalom, his menhagim. So even though I followed many menhagim agro and many brisket menhagim as well, but in certain areas I don't want to deviate from my father. Yeah?
Isn't there also things that we do yachas before Magid? So not like the Rambam's, because you're supposed to do Magid in front of masses that are suitable to eat?
Yes, but there's a more basic reason. What's the other drasha for Lechem Oni? The Chazal had both the earlier Psalm on Nachlamad Hay and also the Abim Psalm?
Shoni Olav.
Excellent. Gewaldig. Lechem Shoni Olav, Dvarim, Shoni Olav, Dvarim Harbe, which means that basically the Yachatz precipitates what mitzvah? Sibit Yas Mitzvah. The mitzvah Sibit Yas Mitzvah is precipitated by Yachatz, by the breaking of the matzah. Lechem Oni, now I can go ahead literally and expatiate at great length. Now I can go ahead and narrate, go through the entire narrative of Sibir Tzias Mitzrayim, which is essentially a function of the Lechem Oni, the Yachatz. Rashi says over there, Rashi says, Omri Malav Asa Haggadah, V'Gerim Malav Asa Haggadah. Remember that, Rashi? That you say the Haggadah, and then we're about to say Magid, and then the Haggadah also is going to be said as a result of Lechem Oni. Lechem Oni is Mechayim in Haggadah, and Lechem Oni is Mechayim in the Haggadah in Sibir Tzias Mitzrayim. Okay, now let's go on to the next, which is Magid. That's the most famous. I've mentioned this already many, many times. The distinction between Sipur and Zechira. That's a famous Rav Chaim Briska. Everyone knows this. The only thing is Rav Chaim Briska was preceded probably by Rishonim. I think they came before Rav Chaim Briska, as far as I know. And then you also have, I mentioned this Agoda. I didn't bring it with you today, but I have to like the Agoda very much. Someone asked me the other day, how many Agodas do I have? So I answered 300. So then I started counting them to see if I actually have 300. I'm pretty close to it. I'm not joking. Crazy. My wife said, what do you need all these Haggadahs for? That's an excellent question. You should add that to the Manashtana. So and soon, Gabe will be writing a Haggadah. And once he finishes, I'll have that one too, Be'etz Hashem. I always wanted to write a Haggadah. I could easily write one. I just don't have the time to do it, but I just see Rabbi, he just sent me Haggadah, Baruch Hashem, Nimre Baruch, Rabbi Simon Shlita, Adonai Baruch Simon, from the yeshiva, from YU, the Rabbi Mohayil, he's Machaber Men Men Svarim, and he always sends me his Svarim. Beautiful, beautiful Svarim. So just like the parish and our brother, he's Malakim from everyone. He's really astounding. Astounding Rosh Hashiva, and a wonderful, wonderful person. So everyone writes our brother, so why don't you write one? Everyone did, we never. You too. So we're waiting for Gabe's. That will come in probably in a year or two.
It's coming.
I would imagine. Rabbi Kunstler just gave me Haggadah.
Yeah.
He wrote. So I went through the whole thing also, what?
I saw Gabe working on his own bus ride back in Milan. Gabe was working on his Haggadah on the bus ride back in Milan.
But he gave it to me already. He published it.
The Purim one.
He published a Haggadah for Purim?
Yeah, I don't know. I just created Haggadah for Purim. I don't know if that's
Mutter,
but.
There's no Issa, but it's not Haggadah. You need some sort of Sefer and Yoni Purim. Okay, that's good. Very nice. Everyone, collect the Lefi Signono. Everyone according to their Signono, according to their style. Okay, let's get to Magid. So I mentioned that Rav Chaim has a famous distinction between Sipur and Zechira. I assume you're familiar with the mitzvah of Zechira Tzitzias Mitzrayim. When does it happen?
Every day.
Every single day. Are you familiar where we have Zechira Tzitzias Mitzrayim? We remember Mitzrayim every day. What portion of davening?
Kriyat
Shema. Excellent. We have three parshas. The third parsha is Zechira Tzitzias Mitzrayim. So that's every day. And Sipur Yetzias HaSayim is only one night. When? Let us say that. And yet the Rambam, when he counts in Minyan Mitzvahs, which mitzvahs does the Rambam count? He only counts Sipur. It doesn't count Sechir. Isn't that a little strange? Sechir is every day. And yet the Rambam counts Sipur in Minyan Mitzvahs. So this is a discussion, but I'm not right now into that discussion. I'm not Soloveitchik said a whole shiur on this topic once. Sechir is included elsewhere, apparently. It's included in Kavol Zman Shemayim, perhaps in Elchei Hashem Elokecha. So there's no need to count it separately. But Sipur is a seven mitzvah on Pesach night. What are the distinctions between Sipur and Zechira? I'm ready to hear Rav Chaim, that's quoted by the Eibik Racha, quotes three. There are many more than three. Many, many more. I've said many shurim on this topic over the years. Let me hear some distinction between Sipur and Zechira. Let's start over here. Tell me one. Each one of you will tell me one. What's the difference between Zechira? Tell me first of all what the words mean. If you know the words, that way it does give an answer. Zechira means the what? Zechira? Excellent. And Sipur? Excellent. One distinction. One is simply by virtue of remembering Yom Kippur. The other one requires narration. Two. Let's go ahead. Go ahead.
One's to act on it, one's...
Excellent. Wow. One is to be demonstrative about it. To act on it. Namely, what kind of action are we talking about? What do we do, let's say, Pesach night? All kinds of things. Correct? By the way, the Sfadim, let me ask you guys, are you, you're more demonstrative than we are. Generally, you're more demonstrative. That's a separate statement. But anyway, but certainly on Pesach night, that's true. For example, give me an example of what you do on Pesach night that Ashkenazim do not do.
We get each other's scallions.
What was that?
We get each other's scallions.
They hit each other's scallions.
You actually do that?
Yeah.
When do you do that, can I ask you?
Did
anyone hear that?
No.
I'm familiar with this practice. Not personally, but... Why do you do that? Do you know why?
Because right after I hit dinner, it's Pesach night tomorrow. I'm going to be awake for that.
Yes.
It's
a Mishnah. Watch out. I'll get to the other in a second. The Mishnah says, Kol shalom amar shalosh dvarim elu b'Pesach. Lo yasi lechavosu. V'elu lein. Pesach, matzah u'morah. What chayva am I not for advokayim? The Mishnah says, Kol shalom amar shalosh dvarim lo yasi lechavosu. Which chayva am I not b'kayim? Pashup shat? The chayva of? Excellent, the Chiyuv of Sipur. The Mishabur writes, all the Poskim write, Chayodom, Kid Shechonoch, every single Pesach, Shechonoch Ha'av, everyone. Rav Avadya, if you don't mind, all of them. That's when you better wake up. That is the most important part of our Gada, is the explanation of Pesach, Matzah, Umorah. And that's why they start with the Skadis. You do that also? Excellent. I know many Sfaradim that do that, but you do other things. Tell me some other things that you do. Sfaradim Dafka, Sfaradim HaTorim. What else?
Not sure. I don't know what you guys do.
Well, you hear this? Walk around the table, do that?
The Moroccans and Syrians do that.
That's right, the Moroccans and Syrians do that. What else? Anything else anyone remember? Some actually jump over a bathtub, create yamsuf, all kinds of things that's right to do. They are, as you said correctly, demonstrative. 100%. And that's not Zechira. Zechira doesn't involve any of that. Bechlal that. Next! Three.
Dress up.
Wow. What is this, Purim?
I heard that.
mask, bar out blood, and you put it all over your face.
What?
You take ping pong balls and it gets to the bar.
It's all good.
We're not going to throw the Sardane around.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm getting a little bit carried away, I see. No, another chiluk that is a fairly obvious distinction.
One is that it's just more so what you can do yourself when you have to have other people involved.
Excellent. Very good. Zechiras la'atzmecha. Sipur zacherim. How do you know that? Bring me a wife and bring me five sukkah. Bring me one person. No, I'm asking the word l'saper. I want to know the word sipur. It's yet mitzrayim. Beginning of Pashat Bo. You remember that? We passed it already a few weeks ago. And there are other writings also in Tanakh that Sibur means la'achirin. That's the third distinction, even the fourth distinction that's being said. Any other distinctions that anyone could? Yeah.
Sibur, you know death.
Excellent. Why is that Tavi Rasolovich again? Mamish. So the Rav, how do you know that could bring you a raya from Arim Sochim? I'm giving you a large swathe of territory. You don't need, I'm not telling you a specific gemara. Bring me a raya from Arim Sochim, that is a din that you have to go ahead and go into depth. The Rav brought a few rayas. Namely? One word. Tell me a word of the Mishnah Arim Sochim. This is how well you have to know Masechet Sochim. We could actually cite to me one word. I don't know it as well as you do, because you just learned it. I don't, most of my days spent schmoozing with people. No? Anyone call me a Mishnah? Which Pasha do we go ahead and examine carefully?
Right here.
The Pasha we're in Kisavo. Correct. That's what he meant. Arami Yogadovi. Correct. Vayer Mitzayma. Vayer Mishnah Mitzayma. We start dashing away that Pasha. Every single word we dash it. What is the Lashon HaMishnah? What are you supposed to do with that Pasha? He says, blank. What does it say? Bedorshin. What does it sound, Bedorshin? What does it mean, Bedorshin? No, Mazel Bedrosh?
Elaborate.
Elaborate, to expound, exactly. It's exactly what you said. To go into depth. Rav Soloveitchik said a whole shiur on what he found to be very cumbersome language. Continue the line. What's in between? What kind of a Hebrew is that? Would you would write Hebrew like that? You are a purist. You're impeccable in your language skills. Your prowess of language is obviously completely and totally at the highest of levels. What should you have said? What's Kalamabila Saper? Be Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Rav proved, I'll be dictum, that B means to literally go into depth.
Ki'ilu.
Delve into. I'm sorry?
Ki'ilu. That's what the Mishnah said. As if you're in Yitziat Mitzrayim.
No, that's it. But I'm just asking on the language, the dictum. This requires some knowledge of dictum. Kalamabila Saper, Be Yitziat Mitzrayim. There is a Meshubah, so this requires going into great depth. In other words, there are many chilukim between Zipur and Zechira. That's what Rabbi Chaim Briska pointed out. You know Rabbi Chaim Briska? You familiar with them? You ever heard of him? Good. Baruch Hashem, we're making progress. Excellent. Wow. Baruch Hashem, wonderful. Who shiur are you in this year? Wow. He's a goyim. Mamash a goyim. Did he mention this Rav Chaim Briska?
I don't know. It's not.
Okay. Possible. All right. So this is basically the story of a Magid, which of course focuses primarily on the Mitzvah Laila, that you have to be engaged with. Maybe we'll just go a bit further, since I just want to cover a bit more, if you don't mind. Okay, there are many things to say here about Sipur. I wrote down 5 pages, but I won't get into it. After Magi, comes Rotsa, okay? Now, what do we do exactly when it comes to Rotsa? We obviously have to wash our hands. Now, when we go ahead and wash our hands. Why are we washing our hands? What's the point of washing our hands in general? I assume that you're a bit familiar with some of the halachas that relate to washing hands. Anyone familiar with them? Anyone? Why do we wash our hands in general? And why do we wash our hands actually before we eat bread? And why do we wash our hands bichlal? Anyone have any concept or anyone have any idea why we do things like that? Why went to washing our hands? Yeah.
Tumah.
Tumah, correct. The Gemara says it. Mishum Tumah. That's the basic reason for washing. We're going to make the bracha again, Al Tehas Yadayim. And then we're going to make two brachas, Hamotzi and Achilas Matzah, that you're all familiar with. They have two brachas and one bracha. And as I said here, regarding, there are those poskim who said you require, actually, Shacharit says, that you have to have two gezeisim and matzah following Hamotzi and Achilas Matzah. You're supposed to have two gezeisim. By the way, the bracha is Hamotzi Lechem Haaretz, and then the bracha Achilas Matzah. One gezeis from the upper matzah to fulfill the mitzvah Sudas Yom Tov. A second kai is for the broken matzah, that's the middle matzah. That's the part that we also went ahead to put the larger piece away from the kaiman that we mentioned earlier. So that also requires a gezeis. And again, they hold that you're saying Hamotzi over 2.5 matzahs, because you already broke that matzah earlier, Yachatz. And now you have 2.5 matzahs, you still have Lecha Mishnah. And now you can make these two brachas, and therefore the understanding is that the mitzvah Suda and the mitzvah matzah are two really unrelated mitzvahs. And that's why you can't fulfill both mitzvahs with just one gezeis and matzah. We have two separate mitzvahs that we have to fulfill. And again, as I said, there's a famous Nisab Yesen Tumela that's quoted here by the Balei HaTosfos, the one who wrote the poem. My father, Bashom, used to had a practice of reading this poem on Pesach. That poem encompasses the entire Masechta. It's not that long, but it, Acham Sagolim used to read it. I'm sure that's what Gabe does. He reads the poem of Esa Tuvelam, which has Tosfos quotes it a number of times. Kemat, the only Tosfos in Shas that quotes Esa Tuvelam is an Avraham Zohar, because he wrote this poem for Shabbos Sagolim. And what he did was he tried to provide a precy of all Hilchos Pesach in this poem. It's a beautiful, beautiful poem. You can either look at it. You'll see it in some siddur in the back of the siddur that has Shabbos HaGadol material. So he contends that to use one Kedai Samara as the Chetzah Shol Mitzvah of Avol, the Mitzvah of Birchas Hanenu, and Samara is a violation of another very important principle that Tosfos quotes, Einaisa Mitzvahs, Chavilas Chavilas. You ever heard of that? And you cannot go ahead, the same Kedai Samatzah to use it for Sudas Yom Tov, and the Mitzvah of Matzah is also problematic. So the Mishnah Berurah actually talks about this. And he argues, Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't agree with this position that I just said. He assumes that the majority of Rishonim say you only really need one kezayis, because the two obligations, the Sudas Yom Tov and the Achilas Matzah, is really one chiyuv. It's really one obligation, it comes together, it's one item. So according to that opinion, the usual requirement of Lechem Mishnah for Sudas Yom Tov is modified by the requirement of Lechem Oni, that requires the use of a broken matzah. And that's basically the way to fulfill Lechem Mishnah is to use 1.5 matzahs. Okay, but anyway, the Mishnah Berurah has a long discussion about this. I'm not going into it. But there's a very famous briskov on this matter that needs a lot of elaboration. Yes?
Who read the Rambam? There's no mitzvah.
Of Lecha Mishnah.
Lecha Mishnah. Why do I need to present?
So, this is a very good question, and we have to see what the Rambam writes in the seven mitzvah of Chayrus on, we mentioned earlier, he talks about it actually here. On Pesach night, it's accomplished in two ways: by reclining while you eat the meal and drink the abrikosos, and that's why the Rambam said. By the way, the Rambam said you should recline for the entire seuda. It's also quoted by the Rambam that you should do haseba for the entire seuda. I don't think that was the practice of the Chazanish. What I understand, I don't think Dovid Yisrael did that. I don't think they did haseba the entire seuda. Probably not very comfortable. But again, according to the Tosfos and the Rosh, disagree with the Rambam. There's no seven mitzvah of cheres. Haseba is like a detail. So what the Rambam Shita is regarding, because they said we need a Rambam. I don't have a Rambam here in front of me. I'm not sure we have enough time to go into this Rambam properly. But anyway, it would seem that according to all the Shitas, including the Rambam Shita, you still would require these two. That's still necessary. But I want to show it to you inside. I can't do it right this second. Okay, I want to just mention one more thing before we have a little break. Namely, Maror. Let's just discuss a little bit about Maror. And we mentioned already that there's a question. The Rambam has, when he mentions Maror, doesn't mention Kezayis. Rambam mentions Baikakas. We mentioned it earlier, if you recall. He doesn't mention Agos. My mother says it's a mistake that really you need a Kezayis of Maror in Achille B'chusim Kezayis. But Maror, you have a Mishnah. The Mishnah that Lamed tests. If you remember the Mishnah of Psochim, you got to that. You learned most of Psochim, I heard. That's what you really did. What the beautiful aspects of the yeshiva. The yeshiva learned the good parts of Sochin this year. That's what I kach shamati. But there's a Mishnah regarding the role of Charoses, the Mishnah of Kufi Dalit. The Rambam actually says that the Maror is dipped into Charoses for health reasons. What does the Gemara say? Mishum Kappa. What's Kappa? Machonis of Mishonim. Are there worms that are harmful, that may kill you, that therefore you have to dip the And the Rambam actually proves that Chavos is not an independent mitzvah. But Harai, you don't make a bracha. You make a bracha on mitzvah. Chavos, by the way, when I was a little kid, I used to eat kizesim and kizesim of chareses. Now you'll say, oh, he's not here. The wine all left. But anyway, the why did I eat it? Because there was wine in it, obviously. Why else would I eat it? Because of the nuts. What else do you put in chareses? Apples. What else? Why apples? Because tachas atapuach or artich. Delicious. Delicious right there. What else do you put in chareses? What else do you do?
Walnuts.
What?
Walnuts.
What else do you put in?
Walnuts.
Yes, what else? Yes, what else? Yeah, a lot of this, all this, all the above. That's mentioned. Taisha talks about, Ram talks about, I remember Rav Soloveitchik in Shir, he discussed the fact that you would think that the Rambam wrote a cookbook. Because he mentions all the ingredients that have to be in Chareses. No, these are halachic ingredients, not just simply a question of a cookbook. The Rambam was not writing a cookbook, that was not his intention. But again, others say that it's basically Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim, and the question is, how do you paskin? Like Rav Lozer Atzola, like Chachamim, the Rambam writes in Tirash HaMishnah, it's a very striking thing. He writes, there's a Biras HaMitzvah on Chareset. But then he says, we don't pass them like that. The Gemara says, Chareset Mitzvah He. My Mitzvah, says the Gemara, remember that Gemara that I was talking. What's the Mitzvah of Chareset? So the, basically, it's a Zeichel to the Abdus that we did in Mitzrayim, but the Rambam has in Tirash HaMishnah, amazing statement that perhaps you make a bracha over Chareset. We do not pass them our love like that. We certainly do not do so. Anyway, but what's fascinating regarding maror, I assume, as I said a moment ago, that you have to be careful with the maror. So if you're going to use, most people use Roman letters. By the way, there's a Rashi in Sochim and Daf Lamed Tes. Rabban Kodi, you know what Rabban Kodi used for maror? Iceberg lettuce. Regular lettuce. Where do you get that from? Rashi and Daf Lamed Tes. The Gemara, the Mishnah list actually in order. The Mishnah tells you what the order, say the Advaran, to use for Mara. And the Mishnah writes the following. It says in the order of things, Eilu Yerachu Shem Yotzi, Chavos Mepesach, Chazeres, Vitamcha, says Rashi Chazeres. What does Rashi translate Chazeres as referring to? The Gemara says, Chasa, Lituga. What's Lituga? Lettuce. So Rabban Kodi, do you use iceberg lettuce? Problem is that bitter? Is Mara supposed to be bitter? So the Gemara says over here, discusses this question, namely, because if you leave it in the ground, it would become bitter. But we take it out before. So as long as the min is a min, which is maror, that's sufficient. So many people use, I told you I use romaine lettuce for maror. My wife uses the root because she wants to fulfill that pasuk that I mentioned to you in Tanakh. Ola osha biapo, snorting. She wants to snort through her nostrils. And that's what it does, that root. Anyone here eat the root? What do you do over there, the fake people? What do you do?
I remember.
Very nice. How do you deal with it?
It's hard. It's the other
What do you say? Wow. See, if I were to be you, he wouldn't be around at all. He would have been cream puffed a long time ago. Because you're such, you see, because he's a tzaddik, he's a chabadnik. That's why you're still around. Baruch Hashem. Great. Okay, maybe we'll call a hiatus at this point, and we'll take a 10-minute break or so. If you don't mind, we'll come back and we'll finish the rest of the items over here that we are talking about. Where are we up to? Yes, okay, so let's go a bit further. Just to finish the some of the items that we mentioned, we actually spoke about maror, and perhaps now we'll speak about even the bracha on maror. I think I mentioned to you before, I think he says this, the Rush writes in Sochim, we make a bracha al achilas maror. The reason is because that we have to eat a kezayis. Achila always means kezayis. The term achila, whenever it's found, and it's found many, many times in Chumash, refers to kezayis. So it's interesting that how did the Rosh know that we eat a kezayis of mara? Because we make a bracha, al achilas mara. And in achilah klusim kezayis, that Shagasari is his kasha. Shagasari is bothered by this question. Why does he bring a raya from this, from the bracha? A kezayis is required because anytime there's a mitzvah achilah, what must we eat? A kezayis. That's what achilah by definition means. Any achilah the Torah prescribes requires a kezayis, requires this amount etc. And if the nusach of the bracha that determines the amount of mara, that's what it determines. So why did they institute the bracha al achilas mara? Maybe they should have made a bracha al mitzvahs mara. That's Shagasari. You know the Shagasari? Rav Soloveitchik said when he was a bocher, I don't know how old he was, but I think he may have been between 8 and 10 years old. He had learned the entire Sefer Shagasari, and in order to get, literally, Dmei Kis, which is, what's Dmei Kis in English? Sometimes they give you, parents give you, spending money, what is it called?
Allowance.
So that's how the Rav made his allowance, by teaching Bar Mitzvah Bochrim Shagasaris. And he was 8 years old. He was a wise fellow, Rav Soloveitchik, a genius, an Iluy. You hear this? You ever heard this story? 8, 9, 10 years old, teaching Shagasaryeh to Bar Mitzvah Bochim. That's what he used to do. The Bar Mitzvah Bochim had a practice of saying over a piece of Shagasaryeh. All my children said a piece of Shagasaryeh over when they came Bar Mitzvah. I learned it with them, and now I do it with my grandchildren. I've been doing it many, many times, Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbo. So I learned Shagasaryeh with them, we learned the Gemaras, at the Shagasaryeh quotes, and then they say it over in Hebrew, of course. They say it over in Hebrew, the Shagasari at the Bar Mitzvah. Okay, so that's the Shagasari is bothered by this kasha. I mean, the fact of the matter is that during the time of Beis HaMikdash, probably I assume the Shia Mara was a Gezayas, like it is for Matzah, the Mishnah of Sochem, and the Mishnah writes, arise from the Mishnah of Elchama Tess, no? Elam Elam is Starfen. What does that mean? The Mishnah talks about different types of species that are Mitzuraf. So what does that mean? Mitzuraf to what? When we start with the Kazayas. So obviously you need a Kazayas. Comes tomorrow. So that seems to be the only question is, what's the Mokka for it? So the Rosh claims the Mokka is the Bracha. In fact, the next Bracha, that's Mokka, shows in Achila. Because for Kazayas, that's what he writes. But the simple pshat is there's a Mitzvah of Achila. And the fact of the matter is that it's interesting that, as you understand very well, Mara is no longer, is Mara Din Daraisa Din Darabana? Anyone can tell me? Din Darabana, because where was it a Din Daraisa? The Karim Pesach. Al Masas and Maram Yochlu. That's when there's a Din Daraisa. The Gemara calls Mara as Maram Sachem also. Hechsher de Pitzchah. It's connected to the Karim Pesach. It's not an independent kind of mitzvah Mara, but today it's a Zecher, obviously, and therefore that's the concept of Mara. But basically what the Mara does is it renders the Karim Pesach fit for eating. That's the Sugya here in Pesachim. The Gemara calls it that Lashon on Daf Tzadik of an Aleph. The Gemara calls it here Hersher de Pischa. It's like Amatz and Maram Yochlu means the Mitzvah Karim Pesach is enhanced when it's eaten in conjunction with Matzah and Maram. You eat it together, Amatz and Maram Yochlu, who? It's all done together. And even though there's a Machlokes Rishonim, because the Rambam says very clearly, Maram is not a separate Mitzvah. Mara is subsumed under what mitzvah? Under Karban Pesach. There's no independent mitzvah of Achilas Mara. Correct? It's together with the Karban Pesach. That's the pasuk, Amatzim Ram Yochlu. There's no pasuk that says you have to eat Mara alone. And therefore the Rambam says that clearly Mara is only what the Gemara calls here. Natsadi, Hechsher de Pischa. The Gemara in Perek Isha, the 8th Perek of Sochim, calls it Hechsher de Pischa. It's a, how do you say Hechsher de Pischa? It enhances the Karban Pesach, correct? It helps the Karban Pesach. But it itself does not constitute a mitzvah in and of itself. Someone just told me,
bracha.
What?
Why does it have its own bracha?
That's the question. Why does it have its own bracha? And see, Tosis here, you know that Tosis on Chav Chesem and Beis? You probably do know it. We did it actually in Shia, I think. And Chav Chesem and Beis is a Tosis that tells you over here, Kol Aro Lo'echa Bo, Kol Benecha, Hu Ein Ocha Lo'echa Masa Mara. So Tosis Mashma over here, that there's a separate mitzvah of eating mara during the time of the Beis HaMikdash when the Karban Pesach was offered. Because the Gemara says, Kol Aro Lo Yochal, Bo Bo Ein Ochal, Aba Ochal, Matzah Mara. What does that sound like? There's a mitzvah of ice of eating matzah mara. Bo Ein Ochal. Aro means someone who does not circumcise. Shalom Aleichem. To what do we owe this distinct pleasure?
Wow,
oh, very nice. Baruch Hashem. May you be blessed.
Amen.
So you know what I'm saying? That bo'in ocha v'ochel matzah mara sounds like the seven mitzvah of eating mara. The Tosha seems to indicate that. Okay, let's get to the next one, which is korech. What's the korech sandwich? What's that? What do we do exactly in the korech journey? By the way, what does the word korech mean in Hebrew? You probably know some modern Hebrew. What's korech mean? Sandwich, correct. A wrap. That's what we call a wrap. Everyone's into wraps today. You're probably into wraps also.
100%.
What?
100%.
What do you wrap? I'm being cute. R-A-P, W-R-A-P, I'm not sure what you're rapping these days. But anyway, kids are so what does it mean? The matzah is wrapped around the maror? Is that what it means? How do you understand the term korech? It's a sugya right here in Sodom, a famous Kufta Zayin, a very famous sugya. It's actually Rabbi Goldschmidt, who's very into the Daf HaYomi. He learns Daf Yomi.
Daf Yomi, man.
What?
That's
right. So Kuf Tes Vav. So there we have this. What does that mean? That you eat in the form of a sandwich? In modern Hebrew, the word karach means a sandwich. Are you familiar with the word?
Yeah.
Or you could say sandwich. That's also modern Hebrew. That's why I speak modern Hebrew so well, because it's three quarters of it is transliterated from English. Anyway, so that what, but it doesn't mean unless the matzah, you know, Sfaradim have these soft matzahs. Are you familiar? Ever saw a lafa? Oh, one second. You guys have lafa?
I don't use it on the Seder, but I haven't
made it. So why isn't it
a problem
of
chametz? It's made under 18 minutes.
What? It's made under 18 minutes. You hear that? Made under 18 minutes. That's correct.
Why can I have it?
Oh, because you're an Ashkenazi Tahor. So Ashkenazim Tahorim cannot do what Sfaradim Tahorim do. Sfaradim can do anything. They have their own religion. They eat kidneys. Could you believe it?
I can't.
Yeah, I'm involved with the number of couples that I'm intermarried, that is Ashkenazi married Sephardi. An Ashkenazi guy, Sephardi girl, or vice versa.
How do parents like that?
How do what?
Parents like that.
Well, this guy went to Flatbush. you know, he was like the only Ashkenazi in Flatbush. So he was surrounded by that. You can see what that does to you. So there's always a to-do. I want to show you how modern I am. So Rabbi Avadya Paskin, the Sfaradi Maz Ashkenazi, who prevails?
The
Sfaradi, of course. Doesn't make a difference. Girl, boy, all these Sfaradi, they prevail all the time. And there are Ashkenazi Paskin, like Avosha Feinstein, the nice fellow Rabbi Feinstein. So he held that you always have to follow the husband. The husband's Kobeya. What do you say to that? He's the one who decides what they're going to be doing. You like that?
Sure.
Why not? So I'm involved in this issue. The last number of years, I've been even you will laugh, maybe you'll find this to be you probably can't appreciate this yet. You haven't been in Israel enough. Sometimes you have an American guy who marries a Yemenite woman. Could you imagine such a thing?
My mom's Yemenite.
Oh,
my dad's Ashkenazi.
Isn't that something? That's a classic example. So there's been many such marriages. What do? You follow Ashkenazi or Sfaradi guys? Your mother also?
Yeah.
She became an Ashkenazi. Yeah. According to Rabbi Shmuel, she converted. She became a non-Jewish. Okay. She assimilated. That's what Moshe Paskin. He passed exactly what you do, what your parents do. But in many, many cases, there are Sephardic women who don't want to give up their minhagim. So what do you think they should do? Should they divorce each other?
Probably not.
Actually, you still have some of it seichel. You came just in time. Push it. So I try always to make peace between the two factions. And as long as it doesn't, but I'll tell you where the issue comes up. Chinuch of their children. Are they going to go to Sephardi schools or Ashkenazi schools? Oh, that's where things become a little bit... Either they go to Magen David. Where did you guys go? You went to?
Hank.
Oh, anyway, yeah. Anyway, you went to?
Mali Gabar.
Valley Torah. My chaver, the giant. If anyone knows who I'm referring to, the manal of Valley Torah High School over there in L.A. is a tzaddik yisrael. Maybe you'll, when you speak to him, maybe you'll call before Pesach and send him my warm regards.
For sure.
He doesn't remember me, probably. You know something? We once ate together in a little restaurant here in Yerushalayim. It must be 40 years ago. I'm not joking. He is a tzaddik yisrael. So both of you went to Ashkenazi schools, basically. So, you know what happened? You ended up with the best of both possible worlds. Unlike the Ashkenazim sitting next to you. They got the worst of both possible worlds. And you got the best. So what I try to do is make peace. And try to, whatever minhagim doesn't interfere with the married life, you have to have shalom bayit. You're masking for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now going back to Korach. So now we say here, oh, where's the Mayah Haggadah? Zeichel the Mikdash Kehillah. What? Could you tell me what's going on over here? There's a big machlokes of Rishonim over here with regard to Hillel's requirement of Korach. Namely, is it only the matzah and the marah eat together, or is it Pesach, matzah, marah? Anyone remember what you say? Zeichel the Mikdash Kehillah. Kenos the Hillel is matzah, but it's been here it says in my Haggadah, the current Pesach, matzah, marah, both of the he took all three together. So according to Rashi and the Rashbam, they say he'll combine all three items. He combined Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So what's the current practice? Eat the sandwich with Korach? Can that be a mitzvah? We're missing something. Now, what are we missing? The current Pesach. So we're not fulfilling the mitzvah in a proper way. But it's just a zechel in the Mikdash. But according to the Rambam, that even the time of the Bishamidosh, he only ate Matzah and Maror. And therefore, it's a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. The mitzvah of Korach is a din d'Rabbanan. It's almost like, if you will, because we don't have a current Pesach, it's a kind of zechel and Mikdash. And that's generally what, I don't know, what do you have in your text? What do you have in your girsa? Korach?
It's a Pesach Matzah.
Right, I think that's generally the girsa. So, all right, by the way, my wife has a practice of eating matzah on Pesach Sheni. Anybody do that? Here?
My father said it's on for us.
Your father? So my wife, she's very makbid on Pesach Sheni to eat matzah. You know, everyone know Pesach Sheni is Yilam Pesachim. What about reading Pesach Chumash? You know, there's a Chumash, the Pentateuch. It speaks about someone misses the first Pesach. Why? Why would he miss the first Pesach?
Too far away.
They're on Chalka. Or? Tameh. Excellent. Very good. You learned the Gemara Sukkah also, I see. You're on top of things. Beautiful. Where'd you go to school?
Frisch.
That's what I thought. Frisch
yeshiva
is the best.
Frisch.
Yeshiva High School of Frisch is the best Yeshiva High School in the United States of America.
What?
That is a hot...
What about
I will tell you that...
What about Milo?
Milo. Oh, that's true. Okay.
It's not going to
Frisch is one of the best yeshiva high schools in America.
One of
them. I qualified my statement.
Tor Academy in Bergen County.
And we have, and we've had actually from Frisch a lot of outstanding. We have had outstanding people from Hank too, and also from other places. We even have some faculty members from those places. Are you aware of that?
I'm very rich.
That's right. You know what he learned?
Frisch.
That's right. He's a Frisch graduate. And you know who comes from Hank? Who went to Hank here among the faculty?
Oh my God, that's a good one. Rivlin.
You went to Rambam.
You went to Rambam. You went to Rambam. Rambam is still around, no?
Yeah.
No?
Robert
Blasky. No, Robert Blasky is a Flatbush man. Look what happened to all these rabbis. They all went off the derech. Rabbi Stamen, where did he go?
After,
correct? Is there a difference between Hafter and Hank?
Yeah.
Namely?
Hank is from.
Okay, I take back the question. Wow, that is clear. Guys, rough people over here. Anyway, so you can see the following, that even though there are faculty members who came from more, quote-unquote, how should we put it, modern surroundings, but somehow they seem to emerge, and Baruch Hashem seem to become outstanding B'nai Torah, Tamil Chachamim, great Rabbanim, fine Mechanchim. We have the best Mechanchim in the entire state of Israel. According to my own opinion, in the world. But I'm slightly biased since I hired them. But anyway, but they're great. They're outstanding. So you guys can go to Frisch and to Hank and to wherever else you went to. You told me. Where'd you go? Right. You know, his brother wrote that book. Rabbi Yosef Adler, who was sort of a contemporary of mine, he told me that I was, when I put out the Sefer Dorash Oshese, you know that Sefer I wrote? Very good Sefer on the Parsha. I always quoted it in my shul without mentioning who wrote it. They don't know. I'm new to the shul. And I said, you should take a look at the Sefer. So someone actually came over to me and said, who's the author of Dorash Oshese? I said, well, I happen to know him a little bit. I said, he's a great author, and he wrote a beautiful Sefer, and it's all about Salvation Torah, and I suggest you buy it. He goes ahead and buys the Sefer, he comes back to me, he is laughing uproariously. He couldn't control himself. And actually, they published it in Hebrew recently, Masada Rav Kook. I translated it to Hebrew. Masada Rav Kook, I wanted to sell it here in Israel also, that people should have access to it, so that's what we did. Okay, back to the Korech. Okay, so Korech, there's an achlokes about it. I want to just finish the other things. Shulchan Orech. Tell me, I want to know, you're aware that we divide Hallel into two on Erev Pesachim? You remember that?
Yeah.
That's a machlokes between who and whom, Beshamayan. Right, do you learn Erev Pesachim?
Yeah.
Excellent. You have to review it a number of times. Why is there such a machlokes? Who ever heard of such a thing? Why would I divide the Hallel into two? Does that make any sense? Let me, when you say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, which is Chatzi Hallel, when we say Hallel on Yom Tov, it's Hallel Sholem, do we divide it into two? My position on Yom HaTzimut is I say Chatzi Hallel without a bracha. That's what I've been doing for years, and probably decades and decades I follow Rabbi Soloveitchik. My understanding is, okay, but that's not looking at this issue. I'm asking, why do we divide it into two over here? Yeah.
The first part
is that the second part is that, like, he learned out of himself. Beautiful. Outstanding. That's exactly the distinction between the first two stanzas and the other stanzas. One refers to Asalobo. The Gemara speaks about the Gog Magog. You know Gog Magog? Armageddon? You ever read the book by Leon Uris?
I have not.
Anyway, okay, I forgot no one reads anything. I should confuse you with that, Chas v'Shalom. You ever read a book in your life?
I have.
Which one?
I've
heard of Pancho, I don't know. Shiloh. Well, is that Shiloh?
It's not a book, it's a sefer.
Yeah, it's a sefer, yeah. I'm serious, you ever read an English book in your life?
Over my life, yes.
And so, Jack, give me an example.
In school?
Yeah, in school.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
You read Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not just Spark Notes?
What?
Not just Spark Notes?
Not just Spark Notes.
Wow.
You read the book itself?
I read the book.
You are. Basically, you belong in a museum.
Thank you.
You're a museum piece, but so am I. Don't worry about it. I just read a few more than you did, that's all.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, so Shulchan Aruch. Why is it divided into two? Again, I'm asking, you're right. Part before and part after. What does that mean, though? You never divide Hallel. What's the nature of this Hallel? Why are we saying Hallel at nighttime? Are we allowed to say Hallel at nighttime? To get some Mishnah wear and Megillah, the Chof. Mishnah tells you a whole list of mitzvahs that take place only during the day. And one of them is what? Hallel. Gemara quotes Pesukim, such as, who here remember Rabbi Fuchs? Okay, here we go. No, which Pesukim does Gemara quote there at the Chof that Hallel can only be said during the day? Mizvach Shemesh ad Bebo. That sounds like Mizvach Shemesh is from the rising of the sun until the sun sets. That means Dafka during the day. The Mishnah has a whole list of mitzvahs that take place Dafka during the day. One is Hallel. So what's the nature of this Hallel at night time? What's going on here? Hallel is not said at night time. By the way, there's Sfardim. Excellent. Namely, excellent. In Bet Knesset. On Pesach night. Boy, where are you, Davin?
In Yom Yisrael Tinek.
That's what I thought. You're in Tinek. I didn't know which shul you are. So do you remember if they say Hallel in Bet Knesset on Pesach night after Maariv?
I do not remember. Yeah, no,
they probably do.
Probably do.
Because even though the Ramah says not to do it, you're Ashkenaz. But many, many followers of the Minhag HaGro, the Vilna Gaon, and those who also follow Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's what they do. I don't know the rabbi. Who's the rabbi in Yom Yisrael Tinek?
Rabbi Binyamin
Krohn. Rabbi Binyamin Krohn. Okay, he's related to the Krohns?
I have no idea.
I mean, the Krohns are the famous Krohns, are the
Pesach
Krohn.
I don't think so.
Okay. So, why do we say Hallel at night time? So, this Hallel is based on Yerushalmi. You know the Yerushalmi, you're probably familiar with it. Same reason why we, the Vilna Gaon quotes Yerushalmi. The reason why we light Neros and Shul on Hanukkah. Why do we light Neros on Hanukkah and Shul? Isn't it mitzvah Neros Shabeso? We want Shabbos. The house is required to light Neros Hanukkah, not a Shul. Are you yotzi with the mitzvah of the Hanukkah with the candles that lit in the Shul? Of course not. You're not yotzi with that. So how do we light Neros Hanukkah in the Beis Knesset? Says the Vilna Gaon. The same Yerushalmi that's Mechayev Hallel in the Beit HaKnesset. On Pesach night, the din of Pesumin Nisa B'tzibur. That the Sivu should also have Pesumin Nisa, not just the Yochid, when you light candles, but even publicly, in the context of the Tzibur, you also have a concept of Hallel. So that's why you say Hallel on Pesach night in Shul. But in general, Hallel is not said at night. So what's the nature of this Hallel? So Asalvechik has a whole very beautiful and absolutely elaborate tapestry relating to this issue. I hope in my third volume, I haven't published the second one yet, or Shai Lovi, I hope to have four volumes with Hashem. Rabbi Ifrit tells me I should translate it into English, but I don't speak English any further. I really do, but I have no time to do anything. So in the third volume, I wrote a kuntres, a 60-page kuntres on Hallel. And so there I discussed this issue, And essentially, the Rav has a Rav Haigon, and he quoted in Avim Sofim, maybe he didn't get to that Rav Haigon, it's quoted by the Ran. The Ran said there are two types of halal. There's halal shal kriya and halal shal shira. Halal shal kriya is what we do every Shavuos morning, every Pesach morning. I see all of you say halal, Pesach morning, Shavuos morning, Sukkot morning. That's a halal which is zecher to what happened be made the days of Yor. Y-O-R-E. Way back then, correct? That's the halal that we say. But at night time, says Rav Haigon, it's called halal shal shira. Why? Because there's something happening on Pesach night. Every Pesach night is Shas HaNes. The actual Nes we're re-experiencing in Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you look at the language of the Rambam, the Mishnah writes, Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo. You remember that Mishnah? Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki Liyotz Mitzrayim. Everyone's supposed to remember it as if they came out of Egypt. But the Rambam writes, and this is what you mentioned earlier, the Mashiach, Chayiv Adam Leharos Es Atzmo, Leharos. What does it mean, Leharos? To demonstrate. Ki Ilu Hu Ata Yotza Mishiv Mitzrayim. That's what the Rambam has a number of different language to the Mishnah in Avim Sochim. Means we have to affect what's going on in the Pesach night is Shas HaNes. We're re-experiencing the Nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And once we re-experience it, so then it's an obligation to do what? Lefikach, anach l'chayavim. Finish. Excellent. That's what the Mishnah writes. The obligation of saying halal is because it's a function of the fact that this is halal shel shira b'shas HaNes. And that's what you mentioned also. You mentioned namely the part before and the part after. The two different segments of halal divided into two. Machlokes b'sham b'silo. One paragraph, two paragraphs, etc., etc. So it's a new kind of halal. That's the nature of what's going on in Pesach night. It's a halal shel shira, halal b'shas HaNes. There's a famous Balamor. The Balamor writes actually, it's quoted by the Nesimis in his Haggadah called Maisa Nisan. The Rav used to say that Haggadah is full of Nisan. Called Maisa Nisan. The Nesimis was a fellow who argued with the Tzais. You may have heard of the Tzosach Hashem. Very famous commentary. He wrote on Hashem Mishra. He also wrote on the Baruch Kedushin called the Abne Miluim. Have you heard of the Abne Miluim? Ever heard of this Svarim, Ms. Hashem? When you become outstanding Talmidei Chacham, which is very soon, you're on your way, you'll come across these Svarim and you'll see Sahi has a Bar Plukta called the Nesivis. The Nesivis wrote many Svarim. He wrote a Sefer HaNagon called Maisa Nisan. There he has a Chiluk between Sipur and Zechira, many Chilukim in the beginning. The Rav used to call that Sefer. The Rav said that the Sefer is Molly Begodish Nisan. What he meant by Nisan was Lomnus. To the Rav, Lomnus was Nisan. Anyway, so there he has that description. He quotes a Balamor, fascinating Balamor. Balamor quotes a Gemara in Tainus. Anyone learn Tainus over here? Oh, you probably learn Tainus. The Gemara tells a story of, they used to have Tanios Kshomim. When there was no rain, so they fasted. In general, whenever we have, this year, the Eretz Yisrael has been L'mazoleinu. We've had an enormous amount of rain out today where they told me that the Kinneret is almost at the highest of levels, which is very rare. I'm here 25 years in the country. In many years, there's been a drought, terrible, terrible drought. Almost no rain whatsoever. And it was going down, 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 down. And now suddenly we have this enormous, together with the corona, everything comes together. Who understands the Darkei Hashem? They're disturbed. They're very difficult for me to understand. Anyway, so the Baal Mor quotes this Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says it was a drought, and then suddenly, after a period of a number of months, suddenly it was a downpour. And right away they ran into Shul and said Hallel. Unbelievable. And then the Gemara discusses there about Hallel, could it be said after a meal? First they had a festive meal, then they said Hallel. How do you say Hallel after a festive meal? Normally when we say Hallel, we say it on an empty stomach, or relatively. You don't eat before davening, do you? Gemara Brachas, you follow the Gemara Brachas, and then Shulach. That's what's eat before davening, unless you're weak, unless you're sickly, unless something is amiss, something is awry, but under normal circumstances, you're not supposed to eat before davening. But here the Gemara said, they ate, and then said Hallel. What's the nature of that? And it was at night time. So apparently you see that Hallel B'Shas HaNes, that's what the Balamor quotes actually in the Maisa Nisim HaGol, the quotes this, and the Rav quoted this Maisa Nisim Balamor, Gemara and Titus, in the context of Rav Haigoyin, Hallel Shel Shira, Pesach Night, Shas HaNes, and he wrote so much about this. You ever read any Rabbi Soloveitchik's Svarim in Hebrew? Shurim L'Zichron Murray. How's it possible? Is he Jewish? They tell over that someone was into Rav and he asked the Rav Akasha. So the Rav said the Rav was in his house. He says, clear Rambam. So the Rav says, bring me the Rambam. So he said, Rebbe, I don't have a Rambam. How about you, Jewish? Who doesn't own a Rambam? You own a Rambam? No? Both of you. You're a Saudi. It must have happened.
Just got one at the workout.
At the?
From the workout.
For the last few workouts.
Oh, the last few workouts. Sorry. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, Shulchan Aruch. So what is the nature of this? Why do we need a separate part of the Seder that's called Shulchan Aruch? Isn't there a mitzvah to have every Yom Tov, a Sudas Yom Tov? I don't understand. Isn't there an obligation to have a meal on Yom Tov? How many meals do you have on Yom Tov? What does the Gemara say in Avim Tzavim? Shabbos we have three. Yom Tov?
Two.
Excellent. Kvod Yom, Kvod Lai, that's the Gemara. Correct? Matter of fact, this year, because of Erev Pesach, last week Shabbos, as you know, we have to have three meals, I mentioned earlier, before you arrive. Namely, that we're going to have, at least that's what I do. We have one meal at night time, bread meal. Then during the morning, you start davening early. And you hopefully have two bread meals before about 10 o'clock, 10:15. That's what we're going to do this year, both here and in the United States. And they celebrate Pesach in the United States also, someone told me. So hopefully, those who are there, even in Flatbush, I think they celebrate it.
Baruch Hashem won't be there.
Baruch Hashem, you
won't be there.
Ashrecha v'ashrecha.
Can you explain how you share your meals?
Yes, I mentioned earlier, but I'll just repeat it for your sake. Lechatchila, you should try to have, of course, the meal at night is not a problem, but during the day, you're going to have to eat earlier, which means most people daven earlier when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. So they'll daven much earlier. I'm not saying Masikin, you have to daven. I don't know what time it is these days, 5:45, 5:45 here. I'm sure in America it's also pretty early. But you'll daven, let's say, at 7 o'clock. But hopefully you'll finish by 8:45, and you're able to, what you do is you make hamotzi, make kiddush, make hamotzi, have whatever you have there, chopped liver, I don't know, whatever you do, what do you have? Some people have fish, chopped liver, and then you'll bench, and then you'll wait a little bit. How much you have to wait is a subject of discussion. One second, 20 minutes, half hour, take a walk around the block, do some learning, say over shir that you heard, and then you'll have the second meal, and you'll make sure you finish it before 10 o'clock. And now the problem is the crumbs. What to do with all the crumbs, pieces of bread. So the meaning is to try to, you know, eat as limited an amount as you have to, not more. And then whatever crumbs are left, you'll flush it down the toilet. The Rav has a famous shita. He said a shita on this topic. I probably heard him in Tavshin Lamed Dalet. Where are we now? Mem Dalet, Nun Dalet, Zachal Dalet, Ayin Dalet. Almost 50 years ago. So he said a shita on this topic. He passed the Amrim shita is, you can't flush chametz. I discussed it actually a little bit. You can't flush chametz down the toilet on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, Chazon Shabbos. What a chiddush gadol. But based on the Rambam, he felt this is the Rambam shita. Okay, based on the... Correct. That's the Rashi based on of Chazayim Beis. The Rashi of Achshavei. Achshavei. Okay, but anyway, the Rambam Paskin, we don't hold like that. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to take those crumbs and flush it down the toilet, and basically that's it. Because you're already using Pesach dishes, everything Pesach. You can't use chametzik dishes, and that's okay. Wait, I'm sorry. What do you want to say?
What happens if your shachar starts at 10 a.m.?
Can I tell you a story with the Five Town Chabad? I went there for an ufruf. Someone became a chassan. So I, in my naivete, didn't know what time they started. So first, I was staying there in the Five Towns with someone, and they told me it was a far walk for me. So I left. I figured I'd probably start at 7:30, 7:45. So I took a walk. I got a single lost. And fine, then I kept asking people. Then they told me, here, there. So I finally got there. I must have gotten there by 8 to change. It was closed. 8:20, 8:30. I said, what's going on here? So I waited. I waited maybe a half hour. Nothing. And it was almost Zman Kriyashma. And before I do it, Zman Tfila. You know, have you ever heard of such things? I'm very mocking on Zman Kriyashma. So I went into a panic saying, I don't know what to do. So I said to myself, there must be some other shuls in the neighborhood. Sure enough, there were. I quickly ran to the Afil Adam Shachris, which I did. I found another shul, not far. I think there are several shuls. I found, they told me here, there, that. And then I came back after an hour. Guess what? They hadn't started yet. I finished Shachris, and hadn't started. What is it? Different religion? apparently. I was thunderstruck. I didn't know what to do. What would you suggest? What would you suggest? What should I do?
Find a real shul.
Anyway, they did start around 10:15, 10:20, that neighborhood. I decided that, I asked someone there, oh, he said, we're Chabad, we can do anything. Right. But what do you do about, you're a young man who's a very big Baal Halacha, how do you deal with this? Can I ask you a question? Am I allowed to ask? Maybe I shouldn't ask. All right, let's just finish. I want to daven the mincha in 5 minutes. Is that all right? I hope you don't object. I guess for myself, I'm a little... Tzafun. Anyone know what tzafun is? That's the avikoma, correct? The mitzvah to eating. How much matzah must I eat actually in the Torah? Kazayis. There's a famous Rambam. The Rambam said that the mitzvah to eat a kazayis matzah. It says in Perek 12 over there. When we shuffle kazayis, yotze lechavaso. So what's the deal from that Rambam? That eat a kazayis. But if you want to eat more than kazayis, can I? Yes. There's something called a mitzvah kiyumis. It wasn't a mitzvah kiyumis. The more kazayis and the matzah you eat, the greater the mitzvah. That's how the briskas of a daik. It's not a briska diak, it's the Vilna Gaon. It's the Cheskuni, one of the Rishonim. It's a number of Rishonim say that. And that's the Lashon Rambam. Otherwise, Rambam should have said, mitzvah haseh daraisa, lechol kazayis b'leil haseh there. He doesn't say that. He said, mishochol kazayis, yasin lechol vasa. That's the diak that many are medaik in Lashon Rambam. And the Siv here says, in the Haggadah, that the Shiv kazayis is the minimum amount of masa that you eat. If you eat more, then the halach is you have more mitzvahs. You are getting a greater kima mitzvah. And the fact, that seems to be the position of the Rambam. Okay, so then we have Tzofun, which of course the Avikoma, according to some Rishonim, the Rashbam and Rashi, at the end of Avrik Tzofun, they hold that's the Iku kima mitzvah matzah. Tesis is holding on that? You saw that Tesis. Tesis is right over here, compared to Tzkiah Shekhra.
Tesis are 2 days.
What was that?
Tesis are 2 days.
There are 2 days in Tesis, that's correct. But Rashi and Rashbam say clearly, but Tesis over here, and Kuf Tezvav, has 2 days that you mentioned. So you're right, he compares it actually 1 day to the mitzvah Tkiah Shofar. Where's the Iker Tkiah Shofar? You know, Tkiah Shofar is blown twice. Before Musaf, correct? That's called Tkiah the Yeshiva, Tkiah the Biyushav, and then blown after Musaf. So that's what he compares it to. You have the Iker and the Tafel, and that's the case of Matzah as well, Matzah and Morah. So the Tzib says over here very clearly, according to the Rambam, if you eat more Matzah, you actually are Yotze, you get a Kima Mitzah of eating more Matzah. Okay, then right after that is Baruch. Baruch is obvious. Baruch is Bichas HaBozen, that we have as part of every meal. And then after that, we have Hallel, which I spoke about a few moments ago, not completely, but a little bit. And finally, Nirtza. What exactly is this Nirtza in the Haggadah? What exactly is this Nirtza all about? And even the Hallel, maybe I should make one comment. We start actually, Shroch HaMoschel HaGoyim. Do you remember that? Eliyahu HaNavi is invited to come in. My family, there's a kosher Eliyahu. And then all my grandchildren are watching to see if he actually, and they claim they see him drinking from the cups. Ashkenazim mukhokin.
They say in the house of the Billy Straw, Leo actually comes. So.
Of course he comes. There's the fifth coast. According to some Rishon, we should drink a fifth coast. You know who says that? The Ravid, the Yushalmi. What's the purport of Lashon Hashem Gula? Otesi v'itzalti v'galti v'lakachti? Beveti, correct. So that's the fifth Lashon. Bring it to Eretz Yisrael. So we don't drink the fifth coast, but anyway, with Eliyahu HaNavi, we'll come, so we'll have a fifth coast. That's called the Kosher Eliyahu. And, okay, then we have Nirtza, which essentially is the end of the Haggadah. I'm going to stop here. Nirtza is, again, the kind of Ritzeh Hashem Elokeinu. We're desirous. We are happy over the fact that Hashem has accepted, hopefully, our tefillos. And yes, Hashem, I'll arrive, we should be zaycha. B'nisa nigalu, b'nisa nasinu b'ligo. Okay, if we can have mincha, if you don't mind, I'd appreciate it very, very much. If that's possible. I'll get through it.